another. It is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
We are with Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton, and that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We're global.
But let's just go to the people right away. Vincent, hi. You're live with Brian the Hammer Jackson on MVP On Demand Network. How are you, sir?
All right, Brian. Do you remember me?
You got to give me more of a hint.
I was on the radio with you for about an hour and 45 minutes. You had my cousin Vinny on. I'm the one with the robe and that lost his two children.
Ladies and gentlemen, I owe this man an apology. Vincent was mad at me for a while. I'm sorry, and I don't usually apologize, but I will apologize to Vincent. Vincent, he had a death in the family at the time when he came on the show. And Vincent won a robe. We were giving out robes at the time. Now, when we were giving out robes at the time, we had a sponsor who was making these robes and everything, and we say we want to order one for Vincent. But behind the scenes, fell through. And that's no excuse for me. I should have got back to Vincent and said, hey, Vincent, I'm sorry. You know, the person, blah, 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 fell through. I did not get back to Vincent. I kept on, you know, we had to do a show, blah, blah, blah. And I guess I haven't heard from Vincent in maybe 1-2 months. So we promoted something on Facebook. And Vincent typed, I used to believe in you. I used to trust you. I don't anymore. And then he explained. Now, when he explained that he was going through a difficult time. I think it was your daughter or your son that you just lost, Vincent?
I did lose a daughter, but then at that time I just lost a son.
At that time. I'm going to let you take the story from there, Vincent. Tell everybody, seriously, don't hold back, how I let you down, what were you were going through at the time, and please let everybody know.
It's kind of hard to talk about.
You can do it, buddy.
At that time, I just lost my son, and all my duties at church, the church turned on me. Well, not the church, a lot of the people in there, my friends, half the choir, half the guards of honor, half the people that went. And my son lived with me. And when he passed away, I was living all alone. And plus, I lost, you know, a lot of friends. Because we had new people take over the church, and they weren't very Catholic. And it was a lot different. I mean, everything was about money, and terrible things were said, and stuff like that. And they actually kicked me out from my duties as a guard of honor because he said he wanted all Spanish people at the Spanish Mass, and two of the fellows that shared this with me were Spanish. So, you know, he contradicted himself. Well, anyway, you know, not only was I, you know, grieving from losing my second son, but I lost the place where I found peace. And I called your show, and you guys were really, really great to me. You kind of lifted my spirits. I got a lot of crap out, a lot of stuff off my chest. And we have fun outside of, you told me I had to get 7 out of 10 questions right, and it was about something, you know, I didn't enjoy talking about, but I did it, and you said everybody would get a robe, and including me, everybody on the show. And to me, I mean, what's the big deal? A robe, you know, I can buy a robe anywhere. But this was like something very special.
Right.
Because, you know, my friend for over 50 years was on the show. I just met you. You guys were really fun and treated me really good. You know, better than my so-called pals who said, I love you like a brother, Vinny, you know. And the robe, to me, was a reminder of the show. And you know how you guys treated me. So, you know, I didn't want to be a pain in the butt and bother you about the robe. If it was any other time, you know, who cared? You know, someone said you were going to get something, you didn't get it. That's no big deal. But that was special. It was coming from, you know, Brian the Hammer with the hammer on the back of the robe. And, you know, that was my memories of that day with my friend Vinny on the show. And I was on about an hour, 45 minutes with you guys. And it was like kind of special. I mean, I've been on television, I've been on radio before, but that was special. And that's why I got, you know, I mentioned it to you more than once, you know, about the robe, and I didn't want to be a crazy and, you know, really bother you about this. And then, you know, on top of all that, I didn't even realize it. My wife had the energy, my ex-wife, to pursue this, and she wanted to sue the hospital because they put my son on heavy medication, and they let him out not telling nobody nothing. And I read the medications, and it said it makes you have thoughts of suicide and depression, and that's why he went in there, because he couldn't get over losing his sister, and then one of his friends hung himself. And this was, like, haunting him. And he came home on my birthday, October 11th, and he took Xanax because he said he was getting these feelings. I didn't understand what he was saying because I didn't know he was on medications and stuff. They, you know, they said he was fine. And anyway, my ex wants to sue them for this, and she sent me papers to sign, and I wasn't in the mental mood to do this. I didn't know what the hell was going on. Matter of fact, they said, people around me, that I was a zombie. And these papers sat here for like 3-4 months. Make a long story short, they said there's no problem with anything. They're not taking the case. And my ex got in touch with me. She said, you know, what they said to her and I. So she asked me to pursue it, find somebody, and I called somebody else. And he said if they didn't do it, he isn't going to want to do it. So I said, but if there's no case, why was he on heavy medications, and why is he gone? So they said they're not going to do it. I called another guy, and he said to me, this other lawyer, it's too close to the two-year time, and he doesn't want to do it. So, you know, my ex was a little frustrated that nobody wants to take this case. I don't know if they're afraid of the hospital or what they said. There was no no case, but if there's no case, why did they put him on heavy, you know, medications and stuff? So it's just
right.
like, you know, in the last 11 years, my marriage went, my three nephews, my two closest brothers, and my two children. So, you know, all this was on me when that time I called you.
Right, right. And I let you down. I let you the hell down. Tell, what did you feel like doing? Did you feel like killing me? Punch me in the nuts?
No, I didn't think of hurting you or in any manner. If I was, you know, I don't have those thoughts. You know, if anybody lost a child, they can tell you. I mean, I have a lot of anger in me. I'm a very, very strong person, but this tore me to pieces. And you might think I'm weird, but...
No, I don't.
I have so much anger in me, I wanted to kill my dog.
Well, don't do that. Your dog didn't do anything. Well, you know, how are you feeling now? Do you still have that anger in you right now? Or, I mean, can you got it under control? And
you understand.
But you understand that your kids went home. They went home to the best possible father there. They're, I know it is so hard. We don't understand. But when we're called home, and we're all going to go home, Vincent, we're all going to go, and they're not on medication anymore. They're not on any pain anymore. They don't have anybody putting crap in them, right?
But, you know, I being close to God, I don't need the, you know, people to tell me things. I know them, although it's good to hear them again. But
yeah.
I was just like... so mad inside, I guess. Like my grandson told me when he lost his mother, it was like 2 years later, we were in the car and I'm trying to pep them up because he said things that broke my heart. And I says to him something, he says, "I'm not happy, Grandpa." And I said, "What do you mean, honey? We're laughing and joking." He says, "No, deep inside, Grandpa, I'm not happy." He says, "I'm very mad." And I says, "Why are you mad?" And he says, "I'm mad at the man who killed my mommy." And I, you know, I was so worried about his feelings, I didn't really, you know, analyze the whole thing. And when I lost my second child, I don't know, it was like all of a sudden I started feeling so much anger in me, you know, that I lost such a beautiful child. I mean, he was 22 years old. He would say, "Excuse me," you know, "sorry." He would hold the door. He would help people. He was really, you know, a great guy. We called him our gentle giant. You know, he was like 6'4", 260. He was a hell of a kid, you know. And I was so angry that I lost him, you know. Now I'm all alone again. Just like with my daughter, when I lost her, I was living by myself, and all of a sudden everybody disappears, and it's like the whole world died. The phone ain't ringing no more. Nobody's calling. We're adults, and then people say to compensate for that, "Oh, well, maybe they don't know what to say." Well, how old you got to be before you know what to say? I mean, just call, you know.
Right.
Something.
Right.
Say something. So anyway, well, you know, I don't want. I lost the feelings of hurting at my dog. I play with him, you know. I treat him extra nice because of those bad thoughts I had. And you know, the dog was like special because my son's boss told him to bring the dog to the pound, and my son didn't want to see the dog get killed. And he brought him home. And I'm like disabled. Walking the dog twice a day is murder. You know, I live on the second floor. But the dog is special. And, you know, I won't hurt it. I don't have those feelings anymore. So you don't have to worry about that, Brian.
Yeah. Well, the dog is also therapy. If you look at the dog's giving you undying love. No matter what you do, even if you hurt that dog, if you call that dog, he will come to you. You look in that dog's eyes, you won't find that love very often. No matter what you do to that dog, he's going to be loyal to you, he's going to love you, and he's going to obey what you say. You could put him in the oven, break his legs, treat him bad. That's a gift. That's love. That's a gift. That's what he's, if anything, it's therapeutic right now at this moment. You know, you got a guy, a dog, I don't care if it's a dog, just because it's a dog, they're still spiritual life beings. Lower beings, but there's still life that loves you, who will see you through this. You're not alone, number one. You're not alone. Let me ask you, you were married. When did you get divorced, and why did you get divorced?
I don't want to say it on the air, and you know,
I have no listeners.
Her name or anything.
No, don't say her name.
But
this is just a situation.
She drank and went out.
Okay.
You know.
So
and
she,
24
did she cheat
years
on
of marriage, I feel she did, but you know, I don't have positive proof.
Right.
But you know,
she
like,
was there that but she was there that told you about your son and saying something was wrong. Is this your son's mother?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I don't want you to go unless you want to talk more, because talking is therapeutic. I am listening. I won't say a damn thing, because sometimes we need to get the shit out. You know what I mean? We got to.
Well, what happened too was I was very angry, you know, that these so-called religious people, you know, that it was like when I lost my daughter, I seen things I'd never seen before in my life that was all around me. And then when I lost my son, it was like I had sunglasses on in a dark room and I took them off in the daytime. It was unbelievable how I started seeing things. And then I realized the people around me had no idea why they even were going to church. And it was just really weird. But I was, like, very hurt, because some of these people are people who said, I love you like a brother, and all this
right.
phony baloney stuff. And they hug and
right.
kiss when they see each other, like trying to make believe it's the Sopranos or something.
Right.
And I was never into that my whole life. But,
right.
you know, I didn't push nobody off. I wouldn't be rude. But
right.
when that happened, it was like, not only was I very hurtful inside and very lonely, but I felt like I was betrayed really bad. I mean, this is the time you need somebody really bad. And then a lot of them turned on me because the so-called new priest there, we were supposed to get together, and he turned down the meeting and then never said or rescheduled it. After he did some stuff to us and almost got me in a fight in a church, you
what?
Know, with a young guy. And every time the guy see me, he would walk and bunk into me in the church. This looked like a Puerto Rican guy. So, you know, he put me in awkward positions in the church and stuff. And then he canceled the meeting and never rescheduled. So I was not only mad about that, but some other things he was doing and saying. I was standing right there and I heard him say it. And some of the people wouldn't talk to me no more because I walked past them and didn't say hello. So I told them, you know, I'm not happy with what he did to me, and I don't go to church for him. I go to church for my soul. I go to
right.
church for Jesus Christ and to receive the host and hear the homily. I don't go there
right.
to glorify this so-called priest.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you would see this the way I do, but on All Souls Day, they had some Mexicans, I don't know where they came from, underneath the Sacred Heart of Jesus, they put a bottle of whiskey, a pack of cigarettes, a skeleton's head, and food, and then they had a picture of skeletons with sombreros on, drinking and smoking and partying. This was at
the
church.
I wish it was sangria church. That's a lot of, that's a different religion. A lot of that is sangria. And sangria, am I correct? You probably know
I
that.
Don't think it was sangria.
Oh,
but it's
really?
Just, you know, it wasn't sangria. It's just they on All Souls Day, the Mexicans, not all of them, you know, feel that the souls come back and, you know, you party with them. Something weird like that. But this was a strict church for 54 years ran by one priest. And, you know, it was very calm, very quiet. All the people got along. All the people were mixed together. This one came and, you know, we felt like he segregated us. And, you know, was causing problems. And, you know, the things he said in the middle of a mass, he points out one of the people sitting down and tells a little story about him, what he thought about the priest when he first came. And I mean, you know, I wasn't used to that. And, you know, then he went back on his word, and then he made fun out of the men in the church and said, we're worse than women, and right in front of me. He said it to my face. Then he said he won't bother the 11 o'clock mass. I sang in two choirs, and one of them was a very popular all-male choir. And he says he will not interfere with this choir. 2 weeks later, he's sending up music for us to do. Now, not only it wasn't Catholic, but we never practiced it. And the choir they have now are mostly, you know, a lot of new guys or guys that aren't really sure what the music is. And then you send up something to do that they never did before, and they make fools of themselves. They try their best. You know, they don't want to let him down, and they don't, you know, want to not sing. So they try to do it, and it doesn't always come out right.
Right.
So, you know,
that
I didn't
you
like
angry.
That.
Right. You know what you remind me of, Edson? You remind me of me. Let me just ask you a couple of questions. Do you get angry at morons when I say this? Do you get angry at people who do dumb things, or and you see it and it just makes you angry, just infuriated? Does it change your mood at all?
Dumb things do upset me.
They do upset you. And people, let me take a stab in the dark at this. You put people in really high regards, and when they let you down, it's almost devastating. Am I correct here, Vincent?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
I guess I'm not that bright, but you know, I fall
for
the same thing over and over. And I believe in friendship.
Okay, let me tell you something that changed my life, and maybe this can help you. And I pass it on. I used to be the same thing as you. You know, I used to put people who I trust and put them at really high status. And even in my relationships, the same thing. If I lost a lot of girlfriends that way, I put you on this pedestal, and they said, I can't live up to that. I will let you down. I'm so afraid. And when they did let me down, Vincent, it was hell to pay. I was angry. I was just frustrated. And then I started realizing I was frustrated of them letting me down. And
you have
so
an echo. You need to have him turn his
audio. I do.
Vincent,
do you have your computer on? Are you listening to us on a computer? Because you can hear me on your phone.
No, I have. I'm on the phone with you.
Oh, okay. Because I'm getting the echo. Because maybe it's. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I'll go on. So here's what changed my life. So I called this ex-girlfriend of mine, and she said. I was pissed off at something. And she said to me, she goes, Brian, because I've known you for a long time ago, yeah. She goes, what you do is that you have high expectation about people. You have a goal, and you expect people to have your same goal. You put too much emphasis on people, and what you got to do is not take people so seriously. And if you realize that people are flawed and they're going to make mistakes, you got to understand it's not the end of the world. That's them, not you. But for you to put people that high, there's something wrong with you. And that's what happens, Vincent. When you give that, when you give your all, it sounds like you give your all. And when you give your all to someone, you expect them to give their all and 10% back to you. If they don't, you not only do you get disappointed, most people get disappointed and go somewhere else. You get angry. Am I correct?
No, not angry.
Okay.
I don't really get angry much. When I was younger, I had a problem with anger.
Oh, yeah. Were you abused?
Yeah, I was a poor white kid, lived in the projects of Newark, and was picked on when I was very young all the time. I mean,
well,
I couldn't walk out my door.
Yeah, you're getting your ass kicked every time you walk out your door, right?
No, they kept calling me, you know, ethnic names and picking on me. And then when I came out of school, I got jumped all the time. And then when
you were very popular. Were they waiting for you to come on the street to kick the shit out of you? Okay, you're a popular kid. Quit bragging.
But it was never one person. You know, one time it was 21 kids who jumped me and my friend.
Well, then you're really popular. Did you ever fight back, Vincent?
I always fought back.
There you go.
And a matter of fact, my other friends would go the other way, and I says, I ain't going the other way. They're going to have to kill me. I'm going this way. This is the way I want to go. And I told them, if you go the other way, you're marked. And when I hit 14 and a half, I got, you know, like 10 times stronger. And, you know, I started boxing at 10 years old, and then all of a sudden nobody wanted to pick on me no more.
Yeah, but how many friends did you have?
I don't think I ever had a friend.
That's right. You see what I'm trying to say, Benson? It's just your anger, and I can tell that you still have anger. And when I let you down, and you don't even know me, I mean, it kind of worse. It got worse because you connected it to a situation, and it was all part of it, and I freaking let you down. I'll tell everybody I let you freaking down.
But I mean, I don't get angry like that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of anger in me. I've spent years and years, you know, understanding it, reading about it, and, you know, I even went to therapy.
And how did that work for you? How did therapy work?
It worked really good because I first went to a marriage counselor.
Right.
And then we were talking, and I brought up an incident when I was 14 years old. This 21-year-old snuck up on me and hit me in the side of the head with a big piece of concrete.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even want to tell you what I was going to do.
I can imagine.
You can't even imagine. I wasn't the typical street fighter. I was a little nuttier than most people, and if you did something to me, you paid back twice as bad. But
right.
Anyway, when I was talking to the psychiatrist, I don't know how we got into other things besides my marriage, because my ex wouldn't go to him no more because he said she was wrong. And that really infuriated her that she was wrong about something. So he said to me, "What would you do if you see this guy now, Vinny?" So I said, "He's dead." And he says, "What?" So I says, "He's dead." He goes, "What do you mean?" I says, "I'm going to beat him, you know, like a dog." And this was about, just say, 15 years ago, something like that. And I still had this sick thing in me. And he said, "Vinny," and he explained to me how this guy might have totally forgot everything. He's got children. He might even be living in the islands, and how I was eating my insides up, holding this grudge and this ugliness inside of me. I was so embarrassed when he explained it to me, because I thought I was so, you know, improved and so far ahead of most people I knew, that I came from the bottom and worked my way, you know, out of the ghettos and stuff and stopped all the violence. And I, because most of my friends, Vinny will tell you, we lost so many friends from drugs alone. And, you know, I didn't get into none of this stuff. And, you know, I did pretty good in life. I was like actually the poorest kid I knew. I mean, I didn't become no millionaire or anything like that, but, you know, I did so much better than most people. And he told me that, and I was actually very, very embarrassed that I was carrying that grudge like a little baby and, you know, keeping up that label that they put on me. That's one of the worst things, to live up to what other people expect from you. Because once you get in fights and you're a good fighter, they want to see you fight more. You know, they even tried to match me up with somebody they thought would be, that was really tough and that would give me a hard time in a fight. And I was in the best band in Essex County in Broadway Junior High. I was like really good in gym and stuff like that. I used to sing. I sang at the Terrace Ballroom. The Four Seasons were there. They liked us a lot. The guy that put the show on said, he wants me to finish up 6 more gigs he has and all this. But I never felt good inside, you know. I didn't feel like I was competent. And I lost everything. I lost all my schooling from all the fighting and getting jumped. Like, they asked me once, "How come you don't play the clarinet no more?" And I said, "You can't run fast carrying a clarinet." Because at that time... And, you know, I lost so much through violence and, you know, prejudice and stuff like that, and getting jumped and picked on.
Yeah.
And I put it all together, and I was very, very embarrassed that I was still carrying the grudge and anger and wanted that revenge.
Yeah, that's just being human. I'm not a psychiatrist. That's just being human. But, Benson, Are you seeking therapy now? I mean, now we're here at 2013. We're on the phone now. Okay, you're alone. I understand that. What are you doing now to help go forward?
Well, I put all my faith and trust in God. I still, go to church a couple of times a week. And, I mean, I have a lot of understanding. A lot of people I spoke to, even the psychiatrist and stuff, said that I'm very, very knowledgeable.
Yes, you are.
Because I studied a lot and stuff. And that anger was, shortly after I lost my son. That's calmed down, and I put logic and reasoning and everything together. And, see, I didn't expect that because I didn't have that when I lost my daughter. When I lost my daughter, I actually felt my heart the first week hurt, and I thought I was having a heart attack in bed. I heard the saying, broken heart, but I couldn't believe that it was real. And I said, dear God, am I having a heart attack? And I actually didn't care. I wasn't getting out of bed to call 911 or nothing. I just stayed there and figured I'd be with my daughter. And my heart was hurting my chest, like if I was really having a heart attack. It's weird how, that's really true. And the second week, I was laying in bed, and I actually visualized my heart drying up. Like if you took dough and you left it out, how it dries up and it cracks on the outside. That's how I felt and seen my heart, and I seen hardly any blood left in it, and it was like struggling to pump. But you do get, bad thoughts when you lose your child. It's not like anything else you ever experience, Brian.
Oh, yeah, I know. And I hate those people who always say, I know how you feel, because you cannot possibly know how an individual feels when they lose something so precious like that. And,
well, the worst thing is they tell you, you shouldn't think of that. Well, think of this. And I tell them, I'm not trying to think of anything. And it gets annoying because the same people say the same things to you, like, well, don't think of that. See, when you go to bed and you lay down, you've got to relax. And as soon as you start to relax, your mind all of a sudden drops its guard, I'll say, and all the thoughts rush in. So people are saying, well, why did you stay up so late? I mean, why do you ask me such stupid questions? It's like when I go to relax and shut my eyes, all of a sudden I'm not tired no more. I get all these thoughts of my child. I wrote a poem. I don't know where it came from. Right now I gave it to my ex. She's going to fix it up. But in the poem it says that people say, think of the good things. And they don't understand that's sad when you think of the good things, because you not only miss them, but you remember how good it was to have that person. And see, at my age, Brian, how many people do you have left when you get older that truly loves you?
True.
And two people that truly love me and respect me. See, because my daughter, really looked up to me and respected me because I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't curse. I was a really, tried to be a good father. I stood by their side to the end, and I did everything I could to be the best I could.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm just rambling on over
here. No, you're not. Are you still seeing this psychiatrist right now, Vincent?
No, I haven't been there for years and years.
They
asked me to go sit with people who lost their child.
Right.
And I tried that once. When I lost my daughter, it was about a month later, and I couldn't even talk. All I kept doing was crying, and I couldn't get any words out.
Well, that's
but
what you're
I
supposed
felt,
to do.
And I seen that there's actually nothing there that could help me.
Well, you haven't given it a shot. You got to give it a shot. I know pain is just pain. Sometimes pain is just... You just can't see, you can't think, you don't want to be here anymore. Are you on medication, Vincent? Do you have anything that...
No, I don't.
When you go
I don't do that. My doctor in the beginning wanted to put me on medication. They were afraid I was going to hurt myself.
Right.
But, I mean, I have no thoughts of hurting myself or anybody or anything.
Good.
I mean,
good.
With my dog, that was only, like, within a week. I thought of it maybe twice in the week, and then I realized that was really bad what I was doing, that this poor dog... You know, I always joke around and tell everybody, when you're married and you go out and you're 10 minutes late, your wife is waiting to start arguing and fighting with you. But when you have a dog, the later you are, the more he wants to see you and the happier he is to see you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So women should take a lesson from our pets.
Well, that's why they call a dog a bitch.
Hey,
but,
that ain't
I figured, here we go, Vincent. It's me and you against the women. Stay strong.
I'm ready.
Vincent,
but, you know,
I'm going to get it.
I realized that right away.
You're
going to what, Brian?
You're a terrific guy. You're what you're feeling is nothing unusual. This is what what I'm trying to say is your emotions are your emotions, and if you feel like crying, you feel like crying because that's you. If you've got anger, I understand. We all got anger. That's you. We all handle it differently. One thing I do know how strong you are. You are a fantastic, strong person. I'll tell you why. Do you drink?
No. No. Nope.
Exactly. Do you take drugs or do you take cocaine?
No. No, nothing.
Exactly. People who are not strong will go into the bottle. They will use that as an excuse. You're not drinking. You're dealing with the pain head on. Do you know how strong you have to be to do that? Now, if you could do that, and you could face that head on, the most unbearable pain that you ever faced in your life without drinking, do you go out with hoary women, slutty women, easy women?
No, not at all.
Well, that's too bad. I was going to come over with you and we can go double dating. But anyway, you don't even do that.
No. I live all alone, and I did have some women, you know, that wanted to get a little closer. But
uh-huh.
I don't know if you understand the Catholic faith. I didn't get an annulment. So by the Catholic law, I am still married.
Okay.
So I will not commit a mortal sin for nobody.
I see. Oh, okay.
So,
you're a true Catholic.
You know,
you're a purist. You're a purist Catholic.
No, I'm a Catholic. This is the way all Catholics should be.
Yeah.
I'm not anything special or anything different or better.
Right.
I just, you know, I practice being a Catholic, period.
Okay. There's some... did you think about joining any of the Catholic groups? There, you know, there's some Catholics, and they have Catholic counseling, too. I actually went to a counselor. I belong to a Baptist church, but he told me go to Father So-and-so. They had a counseling session that I went to. I said I couldn't afford it. I'm only like, you know, I'm 17 years old. I'm going to school. I'm having problems. They said, don't worry about it, Brian. We have this thing where you can go talk to the Catholic priest, you know, like a counselor. They do that. Did you ever look into that?
No, because there's not that many Catholic priests left that are traditional. You know, Orthodoxy is hard to find, and the few I know, like the one priest, he was a really great priest, but they moved him out of the area, and the archdiocese turned on him because he was too Catholic. They said he was too rigid and wouldn't bend.
Okay.
Now, he didn't give up his life for God to bend.
I see.
And that's how I feel. You know, like I studied a little bit, like Jehovah's Witness, Reborn Christian, and a lot of other faiths. I looked into them. And I researched them, and I found out that most of them are like Coors Light. They're Catholic Light. And what I mean by that is they... and what I mean by that, Brian, is that they were Catholics, and they stem from the Catholic faith. So I ain't going backwards. And, you know, I don't hold nothing against anybody. I got to... In order to help you, I got to make sure I help myself. And I'm strong enough and knowledgeable enough, you know, to... try to help another human being and not... Because I notice a lot of people get very confused, and the one thing I don't like about Catholics is that they just sit there and expect everything to be handed to them, and then they become just a Jehovah's Witness, and then they know the Bible inside out. They don't know what it really means, but they study the Bible then, but not when they're Catholics. And that's, you know, the one thing I don't like about it.
You know, you may have a calling here. Did you ever think about getting into... religion and get into maybe be a pastor, maybe be a counselor. Did you ever think about that? You have a calling here.
Well, when I was younger, I was going to be a counselor for homeless children.
Right.
I did child guidance for 2 years in Newark. I started off teaching boxing, and then I went into more and more, and within 2 years, I had all kinds of programs I brought in, like teaching them basket weaving, music, sports, you know, and we kind of pulled away from the boxing a little bit. And I had groups come in and teach them guitars and, you know, drumming and things like that. And I was going to work for the state, but they put me on the list, and I didn't want to wait, and because I actually wanted to be a cop.
Right.
I mean, that's what I felt I would have been really good at as a cop, because I see things that most people don't see, and I'm really good in reading body language.
Right. You know, you would have been great. You know, I could imagine you being a counselor, teaching these little kids boxing and everything. If you taught these little kids how to box, I could imagine how many priests would have black eyes. All right, that's a little joke. There you go, buddy.
I just, like you said, I feel very strong about what I believe in, and
right.
Here's what I expect, Brian. If I'm your friend, I don't think like a. If you say we're friends, I take it as we're friends. I don't know what a friend means to you, but I know what it means to me. I don't expect you to give more. I don't expect you to give me something because I gave you something. I just don't expect you to stab me in the back when I'm down and out.
I understand.
And the way you explained it before, I don't look at it that way, you know. I do hold friendship very high because ask anybody, how many true friends do they really have? How many people do you know in life that you can truly trust and count on? And, I mean, where are they? That's like Vinny. You know, I was going to post on Facebook that a lot of people, you know, Vinny knows a lot of people, too. And he's on the radio station. Call up once in a while. You pretend you're his friend. I mean, what is bothering you? Is it jealousy? You know, that Vinny now has his own radio show?
Right.
So, you know, same thing with him. You know, he's trying to get ahead. He's trying to do the talk show. And, you know, and some people bring up the past. And all, the past is long gone.
Right.
I mean, so many of us change in so many ways, you know.
We do. And, you know, Vinny, I consider Vinny a friend. And I don't know you. I consider you a great guy. I hope we can become friends. I let you down. And I'll keep saying it and keep saying it because I'll say it knowing that what I did and with my own moral code, I don't like to do that. And I want to fix it. I can. I hope it's not too late. I'll tell you what, the time that you came on the show, we gave everybody, we promised everybody ropes. What happened behind the scenes was the person who was supposed to do it, we made the deal, they kind of went out on us and we got stuck. My problem is there's no excuse. I kept trying to get the radio show together, blah, 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 and I forgot my promise. And that's not what we do. I'm human. I'm flawed. Some people say think I'm nuts. But there's one thing that I am is I try the best that I can to keep my word. And I hope it's not too late. You would be the only one in history to ever have the hammer rope. How's that, buddy?
That's good. If I
make sure you don't take any pictures. You don't take any pictures with you naked and doing foul things with the rope.
I don't do things like that.
That's too bad. We can make extra money in the store. Anyway, somebody kidding, Vincent.
I'm a dull, boring guy. You know, I used to. I knew more people than anybody I knew. I knew friends and had people I knew in every town around. When I was a young guy, I was 14, I believe, and I got picked up by the police in East Orange. Me and my friend ran away from home, and they found this book on me, my phone book. And the guy looked through it, and it was packed. I had, you know, tons of numbers in there. And you know what the cop said to me, the detective?
What?
I was 14 years old now, Brian. He asked me if I was a pimp.
What?
I swear. That's what he asked me, if I was a pimp. So I says, are you a retard? And he threatened to hit me. So I says, come on. There ain't nothing but air in between me and you, pal. So he called me a little wise guy. You know, he called me names and stuff. So I says, you know, don't tell me what you're going to do. Come on, do it. So he said something. The other detective was holding him. So I says, you calling me names? I says, I'm a 14-year-old kid, and you're asking me if I'm pimping off 13 and 14-year-old girls?
Yeah.
I said, and these are my friends, and you this is what you say about us, and I'm supposed to be nice and sit here and let you talk about me and my friends like that? I said, you kiss
right.
my butt, you punk.
I know.
The other cop told him, he ain't worth it, he ain't worth it. So I said, you know, in my head, you turned it on me. I didn't do nothing,
right.
you know. I was
right.
minding my own business, just sitting there thinking the beating I was going to get from my father. And, you know, he's calling me a pimp and all my friends prostitutes.
Right. Well, you know what, Vinny? All right, I'm calling you Vinny. Vincent, you know what? I'm going to tell you something.
You can call me Vinny. They've
okay.
been calling me
well,
Harpo since I'm 11 years old.
You have to understand that there's morons in the world. Morons. And when you let a moron change your personality, that can hurt you. Even if you let a moron even cause anger in you, it's like having somebody, it's like having an alcoholic, somebody you don't know, call you names and you get upset. Why would you get upset at this guy? You don't even know this guy. Or people on Facebook, you didn't like my thing. Why would you get upset? Who cares if you didn't like my thing? My problem is, you got to remember, there's morons, and if they change your behavior, whether it make you angry or you're upset because they let you down because they are morons, they can't help it. They're morons. You have to understand you're better than a moron, and that they do stuff like that, they're morons, and they can't help themselves. Vincent, no matter how much you talk to them to try to bring them up to intelligence, you cannot do it. They're morons, and you got to be better than the moron.
I hate to bring it up, but during the election, Obama's election, both of them, I was against Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I researched him before he became president, and I found a lot of stuff on him and Michelle. And I lost it. My computer caught a virus, and everything I saved I lost. But I would talk to people, and they didn't even know. I would tell them, well, what do you think about Acorn? And they go, what's Acorn?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Acorn? And they
mm-hmm.
didn't even know the slightest things that he was involved in and what he was up to. And the first thing is I'm prejudiced. That's what they
mm-hmm.
would say, I'm prejudiced. So I would say, you know, was I prejudiced when I didn't like Bill Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
How come
and
nobody
ever
called me prejudiced
president.
Then?
Right.
You know, nobody called me prejudiced then. I knew there was something about that guy I didn't like, you know. And when
right.
they brought up all the perversions and stuff, I wasn't shocked. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can see the guy wasn't sitting right. But anyway, I was called so many names. I
sure.
had people threaten me. One guy threatened to kill me, a black Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
He threatened to kill me. So I try to tell people, do you ever hear Cassius Clay? And they go, a lot of them don't even know. So it's the ones that do, I says, well, you know he became Muhammad Ali, right? Why did
mm-hmm.
he change his name? And some people don't know that either. So I
mm-hmm.
said, because he became a Muslim. So
mm-hmm.
why did Barry change his name to Barack?
Mm-hmm.
Why would a guy who's pretending he's a Christian, who lived in Indonesia for 6 years and studied Muslims, and you had to be extremely good at it, Muslim ways in the Quran and everything, why would he change his name to a Muslim name?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're prejudiced. And then they start cursing at me, you know, insulting my intellect and stuff like
that. Because you're dealing with morons. And you have to realize that when you, and you can tell a moron the first time you talk, the first sentence out of their mouth, they're moron. And then you have to understand, you don't want the moron. You cannot go to the level to understand a moron because it makes you a moron. You have to learn how to move on and say, there's nothing I can say to you or do to change your mind because you're a moron. And you have to give up on the conversation and give up on that person. Your anger will stop if you know who they are.
What I used to say to them was, you know, I brought you to the well, but the well is still full.
Exactly. Exactly.
And no one's drinking. I mean, they're all probably dehydrated.
You know, this is your show. Anytime that you want to call in and say hello or call in and listen or whatever you want to do, you have an input, we have some political views on here, I would love for you to give us your 2 cents. We have controversial stuff on the show. Tomorrow we got a great guest. I mean, you saw Roots. Remember Roots, Vincent?
Vaguely.
Okay, well, Alex Haley did Roots. His wife, Dr. Mai Haley, is going to come on the show tomorrow. She's going to talk about her book, and it's a really good book. So listen, you got your the show is your friend. I'm your friend. I let you down. I'll tell you what. You're going to get the rope, and we're going to have the hammer on the back, and I'm going to put a special thing for you. How about on the front? I put no morons.
It sounds good. If I ever get it, but I'm not
I am going to make sure you get it. It's not if. I'm saying it right now. You're going to get it. In fact, Diane, I'm going to ask Diane what she's going to do is she's going to go, we call it bubble, meaning that she will going to go offline while you're still on the air, and she's going to talk to you. Nobody else can hear the conversation because it'll be a private conversation. She's going to get all the information, and we're going to make sure you get the rope. And in fact, we're going to be in contact with you, let you know when it's mailed out to you, when it's sent, and give you the tracking number. Because I
have my name for Facebook, right?
Well, Diane's going to get all the information. She'll get all your information, and we're going to make sure
all right,
you get
two
the rope.
Things. My nickname, all my very close friends, people that know me for years, you probably heard Vinny say it, they call me Harpo.
Okay.
When I was younger, I couldn't afford haircuts, so I had very curly, wavy hair when I was a kid. And it was always a little longer than everybody else's because, you know, as I said, I didn't have money to get haircuts, and I was only a kid. And I was 11 years old one day, and the guys called me over, these older guys, and they kept calling Harpo. So that's how you can know me when I call in is by Harpo. And I never told you, in 65, I think it was, my father ran for governor of New Jersey.
Oh, cool.
I think he was the poorest man to ever run for office. And he did pretty good, too.
Well, those are
I'll just tell you something that you might have fun with. You want to hear his full name that's on his birth certificate?
Sure.
Christopher Columbus Americo Vespucci.
Can't go wrong. And you tell him he's not an American.
You know, I went into bars, and people said, with a name like that, I'm voting for that guy. But he was... In our area, he was well known by all the poor people because although we were very poor, there was 11 of us, he always helped other people too, and my mother always fed people. Don't ask me how, because there was times we used to get a wish sandwich. You know what a wish sandwich is?
I wish there was a sandwich.
Yeah, you get two pieces of bread and wish you had a sandwich. And we used to put we used to put sugar on the bread. If there was no sugar, we put mustard. If there was no mustard, we'd make a ketchup sandwich. One time we had, more than once, breadcrumb sandwiches. Whatever you,
hey, you
get.
Know,
you're kind of young.
I used to do
when
syrup.
I was a kid,
I used to do syrup sandwiches.
Dozen.
Yeah,
what?
I used to do syrup sandwiches. I used to get two pieces of bread and just put syrup on it.
Well, syrup costs a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay, I'm
you
sorry.
Know, I was amazed, Brian. I never realized it. They asked, what did you eat first, your salad first or after your meal? And I didn't even realize it. We never had a salad. Where the hell you get a salad from? We were lucky to – we used to get meat in a can from welfare. And it was like horse meat, and it used to come out and make poopy noises when it came out of the can. And we used to have powdered milk.
Yeah. Hey,
you know,
hey, you know what?
I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Those were the good old days, Vincent.
Yeah. It has
you know what?
Bad
because
days
they,
and good days.
They, you know, we think about those, and it was hard, but you know what? You put a smile on your face because you remember what surrounded that sandwich. The family was there, a simpler life. You know what I mean? Those were the comforting days.
Yeah, there was a lot of good things, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have Diane
right.
go private with you right now to get you information. We're going to get that out. After the show today, I'm going to make a point. Is there anything special you want on the rope besides a hammer on it? Is there anything special I can do?
Oh, on the front, you can put Harpo.
You got it. We'll put Harpo right on the front.
You know why? I want to bust Vinny because I was talking to Vinny. I was on his show a few times. And one time I called him up, and we were talking, and I said, you know, the Hammer, he never gave me that friggin' robe. I said, you know, he promised me the robe. He put me through hell with that 10 questions. And he says, when my show gets bigger, I'll get robes. And he says, I'll give you a robe. But, you know, that was excellent, but it'd never be the same.
Vinny is
you
one
know?
Hell of a
Although
guy.
Although Vinny was thinking about me and stuff, yeah. It wouldn't be the same because the, you know, the Hammer, to me, in my stupid head, you know, symbolizes the day you guys talked with me and let me unwind and, you know, treated me nice.
Hey,
while all the so-called friends were hiding underneath the covers or something.
Hey, that's not stupid. That's intelligent thinking because we're here for you. I'm here, you know, every time, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. When we get to know each other, I'll give you my numbers. Not right now, so we get to know each other. Because, you know, if you need, sometimes you just need to talk. You know what I'm trying to say?
You keep saying 10. You don't come on till 1.
Oh, 1 o'clock your time, 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. So
yeah,
California
because I was
time,
calling
on.
And calling you, and every time I called, it says there's no show. And I go, what
yeah.
the heck? So I called you today, and it says you'll be on in 2 hours and something. And I go, that's 1 o'clock. He told me 10 o'clock.
Well,
but
10 o'clock.
Before, I thought you were around here.
Yeah, no, I'm in California.
I was there once.
And what, did you have a good experience?
No.
Okay.
When I went there in 71, all there was a ton of sex. I was invited to an orgy. They didn't even know me. They met me only for minutes. I was. They wanted me to be a drummer for this rock band I met only within a short time. And it was like very liberal, very drug-oriented and sex-orientated there. A lot of sex, a lot of drugs.
It hasn't changed, Vincent. It's the same. The drugs have got more expensive. The sex got cheaper.
See, I don't believe in no dirty stuff, but I don't believe in the liberal way either.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't
be
a lamb living around wolves.
That's true.
I mean, there's so many people that hate us in this country and that's trying to tear this country down and so many different groups and organizations. You can't just sit around saying, oh, it's just a beautiful day out and everything is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some people go, God loves everybody. So I says, how about the guy who just raped the little girl for the whole week and then chopped her up and hung her on the line or buried the child alive
right.
in the dirt?
Right.
You know, and then they, you know, like with homosexuality, I tell them, what about Sodom and Gomorrah? And if God is, you know, going to let everybody go to heaven, why is there a hell? Who goes there?
Right. Wait, I'm confused. Sodom and Gomorrah, is that two guys who just got married in California? There you go. There's that laughter, Vincent. I'm gonna have Diane get that information because I want Kelly on that right away. And Vincent, thank you so much for coming on. I won't let you down again, buddy. I swear, if anything's in my power, and if I say what I'm gonna do, I'll make sure you taught me a lesson, and I will make sure I do it. I will never take it for granted again. And you taught me
I hope
that.
I wasn't a pain in the butt. And
No, I'm glad. No, you weren't. You were, in fact, I mean, you waited for such a long time. I mean, that show was like 2 months ago or something like that. You were not, and I'm glad that I got to get a chance to make it right.
Well,
and
you see,
Vinny,
I have trouble talking about it. You know, I keep breaking up. So
yeah.
That's why, too.
Well, you got it, buddy. And Vinny Domingo, he's on at, he changed his time. I don't know when Vinny's on. I think he's
on.
Yeah, and that man has a heart of gold, too. So you got two good friends here, Vincent.
Yeah, I know Vinny over 50 years.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I only known him for a year. And Vinny got a heart of gold, what I know.
So what's my nickname?
Harple.
All right.
See?
So when I call, I'll tell her this is Harpo.
You got it, buddy. And I want you to have a great day. We're going to get that rope out to you right away. We're going to have Harpo on the front, and we're going to have the Hammer in the back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Diane,
and thank you for putting up with me.
Hey, you're a friend. It's not putting up with a friend. It's listening to a friend. And don't let the moron turn you angry. Remember, they can't help themselves, Vincent. They're morons. So
thank you, Brian.
Thank you, my friend. Diane, would you mind getting the information from our good friend Harple, and we'll get that rope out to him right away?
She's sleeping.
Diane, what? No, she's there. She'll take care. Thank you, Vincent.
Thank you, Brian. Have a good day.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, that was my good friend Harple, and he'll be back. And Mr. Lopez. Oh, yeah, here we go. And we got a call. I just want to say something to Mr. Lopez. Hello, Mr. Lopez.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. I have a special announcement for you. Everybody,
really,
I want you to – Mr. Lopez has just made – web series history. I'll tell you how he did it, and he probably doesn't know he did it.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, me either. Just go with me. I'm a genius. What I did last night, I was up. It was 12 midnight, and I don't usually go on Facebook, and I go on there, and I say, I don't want to go on air. And all of a sudden, I see Mr. Lopez, and I go, hey, okay, what are you doing here? Okay, we started talking, and then I started thinking, okay, let me check this out. What I did was I Googled web series. And when I Googled web series, I Googled web series box office. You know what I found? None.
What's that?
There's no web series box office. There's no place where web series could go to make money. And I'm hoping that you can tell me. Is there a place where people who have web series, can they go somewhere to get it monetized and anywhere?
It's really hard. There's a lot of different places you can mix your web series.
Mm-hmm.
To make some money, there's one website that's called Web Series, but you just, you know, you just dropped your web series in there, and you don't really, no way of really making money. So
right, if there is a way, they're going to sneak in that Google AdSense. But, and I said that's very interesting, and I said that's interesting. So I'm thinking, and I'm by myself, I'm thinking, I go, oh my God, Mr. Robert Lopez just made history. We just changed the rules, ladies and gentlemen. We have a website. Not, I can't call it a website. We have a network that people can put their movies up, web series, so on and so forth. I go, fine. Kelly was saying, Brian, we have this thing that we can help a lot of people with web series. I go, okay, Kelly, I'm not listening to you. Okay, so she hung up on me. But then she was right. She was right. My friend, I haven't added up the total. I didn't get a chance to do it yet. It should have been on a website. This man, Mr. Lopez, has been getting donations for his web series. Now, we're going to turn that into box office, meaning that I think he's up to $40 to $50. I'm not quite sure. Probably more. I have to look at it. But here's my point. You guys might think $40, $50 or something, or it's not that much. I'm going to tell you what he did. He just made history of the world. No one, I challenge anyone to come on my show to tell me they have a web series that made some money. Usually you're putting money out to get your series out there, or you're telling people to go to YouTube to see your series, but you're not making any money. This man did something that nobody else did. He actually made freaking money. People are watching his web series. They're paying the man, and I'm telling you what they're doing. They're not only paying the man is now getting a following because people are actually going there, and they're saying, hey, this looks great. What's going to happen? And the man says, look, we're doing a fundraiser too. If you like this, we're working episode 4. We're going to need a little dough to help. People are giving him dough. People are giving him dough, not because he's on Kickstarter or these other programs. Let me tell you the difference, what he's doing. He changed the world. When you go on Kickstarter, you got people there telling you what they want to do. They're telling you how this is going to work. We need money to complete this. No, not Mr. Lopez. He's saying, hey, this is my project. You can look at it right now. This is what we're doing. He's also collecting fan base. He's also doing this. And they're saying, I like what you're doing, Mr. Lopez. He says, look, we need a little funding like all independent people do. We want to make episode 4, 5, 6. You're damn well, you better make episode 4, 5, 6. I like what you're doing with episode 1 and 2. I can't wait to see 3 and 4. People are reaching in their pockets and pulling out their credit cards. You better hurry up, Mr. Lopez. We want to see episode 4. It's like Star Wars all over again when you guys can't wait to see episode 6.
Oh, goodness.
You just changed on web series. You just changed the rules, sir.
Thank you.
You
appreciate
do a 5-minute, 10-minute episode. You got another 11-minute episode, and you're giving your fans. You're not telling them on Kickstarter, whatever. This is what I'm going to do, and it's going to look like this, and blah blah blah. No, you're saying this is what we're doing. And in the meantime, while you're getting your funding, you are gaining a fan base, and people like what you're doing. Your name's going out there, and they can't wait for episode 3. And they're going to help you because they see a project. They know where it's going.
Yeah.
And you're collecting fans. You changed the world, Mr. Lopez.
I appreciate that, Brian.
You did.
Oh, good.
And I got another surprise
this
for you.
Showing at?
What? I hope Carrie didn't say that. Please, Carrie didn't say that. What did you say, Carrie?
I said, where is it showing?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Carrie, when was the last time you've been to our website? When was the last time you've been to the site?
But you didn't say that it was on.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That was supposed to be my cue. It's showing at MVPOnDemand.com. Sorry, Carrie. You were right. You're ahead of me. I'm sorry.
Charlie Brown.
I know. Work with me.
Spend time with Harpo.
Okay. The Benite Brothers is now showing on MVPOnDemand.com.
Hey,
it is
Brian.
So good. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Brian, I also had
Did you get a chance to see the second episode?
I didn't because, like I said, I got on the phone. I texted you at 12, and I said, I promise I'm going to do it before the show. As soon as the show, I woke up. Kelly woke me up and said, we got a busy day. Let's do a meeting. I said, we don't do a meeting. I'm going to watch the website. We're going to do a meeting. Okay, by the time we got done meeting, I had to set up the show. I am going to watch it after the show. But I saw episode 1. I am hooked. I have to find a way to get in the back door so I don't have to pay. I'm sorry. But even I have to pay to see his web series, and I'm the one who put it up. Sorry.
Nice.
Hey, Brian.
Nice.
I also
hadn't had
a chance to tell him what we talked about, too, about the Dish Network.
That's what I was going to tell him. That's my surprise. We are, I don't know if you know or not, but we do, we have a deal with Dish Network, D-I-S-H. You know, they're the cable communication network. They said to me, Brian, if you ever email me again, we're going to call the police. I said, okay. So I emailed them with a fake name. So now I'm Kelly Corbin.
Oh, God.
So they said, Kelly, yes, we do take original programming. Please send us your programming. This is the format. This is this. Guess what, Mr. Lopez? You were the first one, and you're so popular. You have a demand. We have just sent your project to the third largest communication company ever, the Dish Network.
Really?
We are waiting for their okay, and I think it's going to be a good okay because we gave them a hell of a pitch. And
okay.
And if everything works out, you will be on probably channel 248. Not quite sure of the channel yet. But that's going to give you more distribution and will give you more revenue because they do put the commercials and everything, and that revenue goes into your pocket, sir.
Awesome. That is awesome.
You are awesome.
I like the first part. Second part's good, but the first part's even better. A wider distribution.
Oh, yeah. You're all over the place now. The people love you, but you changed. You changed the rules. You changed a web series that got box office receipts over the frickin' weekend. I guarantee you, talk to anybody else, their web series haven't made diddly squat. They did it. You changed
the frickin' rules. That's what we're here for, is to look at things differently. If others have done it before, there's no reason why we should continue doing that. We should, you know, break the mold and try to build upon what's already there or change things completely if we have to.
You did.
Are we following in William Shatner's footsteps?
Yes.
Where no world has gone before?
That's right.
Yes.
I'm sitting in my captain chair.
See, there you go. At the helm, right where you should be. Now drive the boat.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And I'll make sure when we land on a planet, we'll make sure that you wear the red jacket, Carrie, because everybody knows in Star Trek what happens to the person with the red jacket.
Yeah, they don't make it past the first scene.
Yeah, they don't make it. I know. Congratulations.
Awesome. That's great news.
you and what you did was you just made the MVP On Demand Network the first of its kind to actually have a web series and monetize a web series and to give it full distribution to cable, to global distribution. You made box office history, and awesome. We are so excited. We didn't think we were going to go this route. Your project put us into this other area that we didn't think we could. Kelly knew we could, right? Kelly, go ahead. Take your pause. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was the one I tried talking
to. All right, enough
of
you. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Kelly.
But it just came
I hate it when she's right. I hate it when she's right.
Well, when we got Robert's web series and we sat there and tried to decide how we were going to make this work for him and how we were going to help him raise money, I just, you know, it finally all made sense because you can put your web series on sites that will try to sell advertising, but you look around and they're not selling a lot of advertising, therefore you're not making any money. You can charge 99 cents, but it's hard to justify somebody saying, I'll pay 99 cents every week or, you know, every time an episode comes out.
Yeah.
But to do it this way, you've got a following who want to see the next episode, and they're going to dig in their pocket and spend that dollar or $5 or 10 or 20, whatever they feel they can, they'd like to help you out with, and to get that next episode in the series out. And I just think
it's wonderful.
It creates a sense of
involvement as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You guys
are
a
really
piece
of
ownership of the show. You know, I
wow,
kind of
seriously.
I help this. You know,
right.
Be,
well, they're invested in it. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That,
I
that
think
was,
this
you know,
is
going to
be wonderful for everybody.
Okay, Kelly, write that down because we can take that too. Claim to be number one. Yeah. Executive producer, a piece of ownership, make a little money on it. I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
only MVP On Demand brings you this. Congratulations, sir. I will
Thank
keep
you, very
you
much.
Abreast. Oh,
okay.
Hell, I'll keep you with two breasts. What Dish TV has to do and
okay.
how they're doing it. And you just broke the mold. You just started something amazing. And we're so proud that we had the platform to do it. And I see every time I look at another donation. I'm going, he's out of control. The man's out of control.
And we still have several days to go. People can still see this.
Yeah.
Days,
I've actually spread the word throughout everywhere I can go. You remember the first time I was on your show and I was explaining to you how I was doing my advertising. Instead of paying someone else to do it, I was doing it myself. And
right.
so I've taken some of those techniques and I've actually amplified them
mm-hmm.
and really gone hard on the social media and really put together just a small presentation, you know, of this is what we're doing. We're working on a paranormal show. Got elements of sci-fi, mystery, action, adventure. You know, here's our first episode. Watch it. You love it. You know, come check out episode 2. Donate, then watch. You know, and we have some, you know, some gifts for people who donate above a certain amount. And so I've gotten a lot of responses from that because what I did was I went out and I searched for paranormal groups. I searched out forums, people talking about paranormal stuff. You know, I went and looked for sci-fi forums. I went and looked for sci-fi groups and really targeted, you know, the show to people who are interested in that aspect of entertainment. And so, you know, I figured, you know, who's not sick of, you know, paranormal, you know, movies that are constantly coming to the movie theaters with the same tired, you know, someone's recording and all of a sudden something moves and, you know, it's just, you want something different. You want to think of things in a different way. So I figured let me just, you know, it doesn't fit the mold that's out there right now because Hollywood is just interested in just being safe and making money. That's it.
That's
all they care about. You know, and so if it doesn't fit the mold that they've already established for you, you're not going to make it because all they're interested in is doing the same thing they've already done. Look at Taco Bell. Right, Taco Bell last year came out with the Locos Doritos, right? And so you come this year, you go, wow, that was amazing. You know, they came up with a new product. It was great. So what did they do this year? The exact same thing, except they just made it spicy. So they're not interested in breaking the mold. They're not interested in coming up with a new product. They're just saying, well, that worked really good. Let's keep on doing that. And sometimes you got to understand, it's the fact that you continuously keep breaking the mold that makes you popular. It's the fact that you're constantly breaking expectations that puts you up front. You know, Steve Jobs was never satisfied with just doing the exact same thing over and over and over again. He was satisfied when he would break the expectations of everyone around him who thought that this is what he was going to deliver, and then all of a sudden he delivered something 1,000 times better. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I have that mentality that these are the people that I should, you know, mold myself after. A person who isn't afraid to change the rules, a person who isn't afraid to really just throw everything I have at everyone and then tomorrow change it all up. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not afraid of change. I'm not afraid of doing things differently than everyone else. And I definitely don't care about criticism. It's something I take. And you have criticism for me, that's great. I'll listen to that. But it doesn't break me. And it doesn't influence, you know, what the overall outcome of what I'm doing is going to be. It doesn't. You know, I do things because I feel this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. You know, I think it'll work this way. And, you know, and I take a chance and I do it.
Well, you did it. And you know what's going to happen 5 years from now? There's going to be an award called the Lopez for web series. Because you change the rules. You change the rules. People are conditioned to go to Kickstarter. People are conditioned to go to this Indiegogo. And when you go there, it's cool. I'm just saying, there's a good forum. But when you go there, you're talking about people that don't have a project made, but they're talking, trying to convince you how good this project will be if they only had the money. You did, sir. You said, this is my project. I'm not telling you how it's going to be. You're watching this. And if you enjoy this, which they do, we need a little help. Because we want to complete episode 3 and 4. And they said, I'm already a fan. We got to get 3 and 4 ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You changed the freaking rules. The Lopez will be watch for that
marching
award.
Marching forward with you.
MVP did it, baby. But,
yeah.
But there will be.
Makes
I expect to have the
American,
Lopez award.
It?
Huh, Carrie?
I said it makes you proud to be an American, huh?
Until they take the taxes.
Hey, we're groundbreaking in every aspect.
Yeah, I am proud because I know they're listening to my phone calls. Yes, I am proud to be American. I have no privacy. I don't care, but I'm proud. Mr. Lopez, We live in a society that we, with a letter, can get us in trouble. We use the N-word, and next thing you know, we're in a courthouse. Proud to be an American. That's a true story, too. Did you hear about this guy using the word, the N-word, to a worker? And he happened to be black, she happened to be black, and also she sued him, and she won. My God, where we're coming to.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of money, too.
She got a lot of money for that. But so there goes the theory. Well, how come the black people can say N-word? No, we can't even say it now. What kind of country is this? We can't say it now. We'll get sued.
Yep.
What? I'm proud to be an American. Mr. Lopez, congratulations, my friend. I'll let you know about what Dish Network says. Your series, The Benight Brothers, is blowing people away. It's a sci-fi. There's an underlying message, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. You must watch it. I will watch it after the show. But you must watch it. I saw episode 1. I am hooked. We were looking for a project. Carrie, Kelly, Diane, we're saying, okay, we got a lot of projects submitted to us. And I'll be honest with you, they were crap. And we had a problem. We're running out of time. We said, we got to put something up. I said, if we put crap up, we're crap. But we're running out of time. And I said, okay, we need a good project. Along comes, here comes Mr. Long Ranger, Mr. Lopez. I have a project. I go, let's look at this one. Whoa, content. Great quality. Great story. That's what we need. And we held out.
Going, wait, we're going to go this direction. Wait, we're going to take you this direction. And he just kind of goes, okay.
Yeah. But I also want to put a couple other films in there, too. The Friend of the Devil, And also The Magical. We just a group of these good, talented web series and short films that says, you know what, these are great quality stuff. We can hang with this. And this will launch us, and it did. And congratulations. I want to thank you, Mr. Lopez, from the bottom of our heart to prove that we were right. There is a venue for web series, and there's a venue for short films. And we are not going with the Hollywood robotic tradition of something works and we'll just do a little spin on it. We won't take it anymore. We want original entertainment, and that's what we give you.
Awesome.
Well, you're awesome, my friend. If I was gay, I'd be camping out your house right now and spying on you with binoculars.
Hey, we told you about that stock and stuff. Quit.
I know. TMI channel, only on MVP on demand.
All right, Brian, I really appreciate it. You know, keep up the great work.
Thank you, sir.
Send the people over. You know, have them go to our Facebook page, like our fan page. We also have a new group started. It's a closed group. You actually have to, you know, have either someone invite you in, or, you know, we would have to have you either on our like page as a fan. You would have to be one of our friends for you to get an invite, but it's basically Ben Knight Brothers BTS. Ben Knight Brothers The Series BTS, and that's basically behind the scenes. And what I started doing with this group is basically there's all kinds of pictures and footage from behind the scene, rare video that, you know, it's never going to be seen anywhere else. But this is the one place where you'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see the very first time that the guys rehearsed the lines that you hear in episode one, and how
cool.
Rusty they were, you know what I mean, before there was any direction. You'll see pictures from the set from the very first episode, and we're going to continue filling it up with, you know, behind the scenes footage and pictures that are not going to be anywhere else, but just on the Ben Knight Brothers, The Series, BTS group on Facebook. So
there you go.
People come on over.
I sure will. And Diane, I know you're busy. I see the board. Make sure you get the information. Can you bubble our friend Mr. Lopez and make sure we get that information and that we can put it up, and I'll put it on the app too. I want to thank you, Mr. Lopez.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
When they do a donation, are then they become like friends of the
if you send me a list,
special group?
Yeah, if you send me a list, everyone who donated to the show will automatically be invited into the BTS group.
Wow.
Yeah, you just send me a list of everyone who's donated, and they will automatically be entered into the BTS group. No need to, you know, like our page on the fan page to be able to get an invite. I'll just get an invite right away.
Can I ask you a favor?
Yeah.
I made a film. Actually, it's a sex tape selling at the 98-cent store. It's not really selling that well. So I know. I was just hoping that if you join his group that you could, you know, maybe my tape can get it. Yeah. Okay, forget it. It's too much to ask right now. Too soon.
Brian's tape brought
hey,
back the dime
grow,
store instead of the 99-cent store.
Fine. Ladies and gentlemen. What's that? Oh, the TMI channel, yes. You can see Brian's sex tape.
You can get your video.
Oh, Jesus. It's on an iPhone. Cheap production. Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, I'm
going to
bubble Robert. Give out the website.
MVP on demand. That's MVP. It says it all. Most valuable player. And Mr. Robert Lopez Case, most valuable producer. MVPondemand.com. You can see the Ben Knight Brothers, episode one and episode two. See it fast. Why are you still giving out donations? Because I'm going to raise the price on your asses. Oh, I'm sorry. Not supposed to say that? Okay. Please donate what you can. You're seeing the series. You're seeing a series. I mean, you're donating from $1 to $5. The goal is to get his content to you. The goal is to see this man's work, and it's great work. Once you see it, he's asking for a donation so he can make other episodes that you will enjoy. You won't be disappointed. MVPondemand.com. And Kelly and Diane will get the information where we can take you to his well, you can say it one more time, Mr. Lopez. If they want to see you on Facebook and join your group again, how do they do it?
They go to our fan page, which is Ben Knight Brothers Series. They can like us there. I'll be sending out invites throughout the week to, you know, various fans. Not everyone's going to get an invite, though. The fans who have been very interactive on our site have liked or commented on any posts we have done in the past. Those fans will get first dibs. They'll come in first. And then afterwards, you know, we'll keep it at a certain limit, and then we'll just keep inviting people slowly over time. But
I was one of the first 20 that was invited into that group.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
I was the first one rejected.
Not supposed to tell them.
I know. I have no shame.
We're trying to build up our reputation.
I know.
Yeah, but the group is Ben Knight Brothers, the series, BTS, Behind the Scenes. So anyone interested, anyone listening, go to Facebook, look us up, Ben Knight Brothers Series, like us, like our fan page, comment, you know, like photos, and, you know, that's one way you can get in, or you can watch the show, donate, and when we get that list, we'll add you right to the group.
Well, thank you, sir, and I also want to thank you for putting the Brian the Hammer Show interview on your website. I saw it, and thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. I give love to all my affiliates, everybody who's helped me out.
I appreciate it. Diane, would you please give the gentleman, get his information so we make sure that we put that on our page, too, where they can join a special group?
I have
group?
All that. I have
oh,
it
you're
all.
New?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the great director, producer, Mr. Robert Lopez, the man who changed the rules. Unbelievable. The Ben Knight Brothers, now playing on MVPOnDemand.com. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. The work is fantastic. We also have The Magical, which is done by Carrie, who's just talking to you right now, Carrie Brooks. And we also have a short film. If you love Westerns, I'm telling you, you're going to love Friend of the Devil. Thank you so much, but
we
now
also,
the double feature. I'm sorry. And eliminating.
Also have kind of a spiritual one, Eric's Illumination.
Eric's Illumination. It's very spiritual. I love it. That features a star of Destiny. Destiny comes on the show, and by the great, I forgot the director's name, check it out. It's great work. If you're religious, you're going to love it. If you're not religious, you will go to church next week.
Tony Pollard is the director.
That's right. We got some great stuff there. Thank you so much, and we're going to be seeing you at the movies. I always wanted to say that, Mr. Lopez.
Awesome.
You guys have a great day.
You too. Can of wine
Bye-bye.
For everybody. Celebration. Thank you, sir. We'll see you soon.
I wish I had been able to get at least soda this time.
Oh, no, that's a can of wine. That's a good wine.
Nah.
We have a very special guy right now, Mr. Cole, and we have Rob Ross. Rob Ross is that's a familiar name. Why do I think Cole and Rob Ross are connected? Let me open the mic up to Cole. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a friend of the show. He's my friend, Mr. Cole Blackwell, everybody. Sorry to keep you on hold, Mr. Cole. We had to take care of some business. How you doing, my friend?
What's going on, homeboy? How you doing, man? Nice to be back in the airways.
Good to hear you, man. Is Rob Ross connected to you? Why do I have a feeling he is?
Rob Ross is the director of our play, Victims.
Okay, let me open him up, too.
Okay.
Hold on, Cole. I'm going to have you start it. Welcome to the show, Mr. Rob Ross. How are you?
Hi. How are you, Brian? Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I'm going to let you two talk. Which one takes the lead?
Well, you know, if I was directing the scene, I'd let Cole take off first, so I'll do the same here. Cole, you can take it away.
There you go, my friend,
okay.
Cole. Give us, Cole, tell us about your play.
All right, it basically is about a high school cheerleader played by the beautiful and talented Lauren Toglia, and also stars Anthony Rockford as her boyfriend. And I'm kind of the antagonist here. I'm the bad guy. I'm the
of course.
Play 30 exactly. I'm playing a 37-year-old alcoholic bartender who, you know, was kind of got the hots for Tony Spresso, and we work in an Italian restaurant, and I don't want to give away too much. We're probably going to film it, so we'll probably be able to show a couple scenes on there. And we had a rehearsal on Saturday that we got a lot of the stage stuff worked out, and we're just going to roll up our sleeves and dive in, and play opens for one night only on September 19th at Roy Arias Theaters. Also starring Samantha Tafarelli as Jody, Lauren's girlfriend in the play. And then we're very proud to announce the new addition to the cast of John Imperioli, Michael's brother. He's going to be playing two different parts. He's going to be playing Salvatore, Lauren's father, Tony Spresso's father, and also Joe, the cook at the restaurant.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's about
it. Cool. Cole, let me ask you first of all. Okay, now, this is, what's the date?
Thursday, September 19th, 8 p.m.
And how much are tickets? And how much are tickets?
Tickets, I think, are 30 plus a fee, so I think it's like 32 and change, something like that.
Now, are there advance? Okay, now, are you set up for advance ticket sales?
Oh, yeah, you can go to, there's a link. If you go on Facebook, we're under the events, and then I can, you know,
cool.
give it to you. You can post it. And,
damn,
or
right.
you can buy tickets. You can, you can buy tickets at the door as well. I don't think you can buy them on phone. You have to buy them either online or at the
okay.
door. So, but look,
now,
look,
I'm going to talk to
turn it over to Rob a little bit, and then he can discuss.
Well, I will. I just want to ask you some information. I will turn it over to Rob,
yeah.
because I'm going to talk about the play. I want to just talk to you about the mechanics. Now, how many seats? Is this a 99-seat theater, or give me an
I
idea?
I think it's about 75 or 80. Is that right, Rob?
Okay,
yeah,
good.
It's a maximum capacity of 80 people.
Okay,
yeah.
I like those theaters because they're that means there's no such thing as a bad seat. You're intimate. It's right there. The play is developing in front of you. I love those kind of theaters. Now,
I saw Chaz Palminteri, and I had like the fucking Bob Uecker nosebleed seats up in the fucking upper deck, and it was still good, but I would have rather been, you know, on the floor.
Exactly. Now, Cole, who is the star of the play?
Well, Lauren and I star basically in the play together, and that's it. It's about her troubles and, you know, and her trying to deal with, you know, her boyfriend, and also, you know, I guess kind of getting entangled with me a bit, and my battle with alcohol. Basically, I drink, and I kind of convince her and everybody that I'm not drinking, but I actually am drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so
just like how we met on a show.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Cole, you son of a bitch.
Hey, Brian, can I get a bong hit?
You just... Oh, Jesus. Hang in there, Rob. Rob right now is saying, oh, shit.
No, I'm sorry.
I thought you had the sound effects. Go ahead, Rob, jump in.
Diane, would you do the honors
that.
Of giving our guests a little... thank you. There you go, Cole. We got to keep it. We have no budget, but we got to feed our actors. So, let me ask you, Cole. Is this your first play that you have ever done?
It actually is. I read in 1990 a few times through, and maybe I guess we did one or two rehearsals for the Breakfast Club. I was going to play John Bender's part. And then actually about eight years ago, we did a reading. I had the idea I really want to do the Breakfast Club on Off-Broadway. And so I read for, I was going to do Principal Vernon's part. So I still want to do that. I don't know why that is. It hasn't taken off. It's been done in
so
a few cities around the country. But
have you performed live before? I know, I saw your video, you singing, but this is a total different one. Have you performed live before? Because when you screw up your lines, you're live, buddy. You got all these eyes on you.
Thanks a lot, fucking Brian, for fucking jinxing me like that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, you fucker. Hey, what's up, fuckers? I've only had a little bit of theater experience live. I don't really call it theater experience, but what I did was I won the 30-second monologue slam with the Sam Jackson monologue from Pulp Fiction, and then I did the Midnight Express, so I got... you know, I got selected. Well, if you win the 30-second spot, you get to do a 3-minute spot. My monologue was three minutes and 20 seconds, and it was the one from Midnight Express, when Brad Young, oh, sorry, I got a little drawn a blank on his name. Anyway, William Hayes has just found out that he's, you know, after doing 300 in almost 4 years, that he's looking at more time, and so he delivers this monologue. And the monologue was 3 minutes and 20 seconds. I did it in 2:20. So what happened was I fucked up a line in the beginning, and I just kind of rushed through it because I didn't want to make any more mistakes. It still had some pretty good energy, but it just didn't have time to breathe. And it was tough, you know, like, it was tough being in front of 100 people. And I got to play guitar in front of 500 people, and I've been on movie, you know, I've filmed with, like, people around, and there's no pressure at all. But, like, theater's a different ballgame because, like as you said, you know, you just got one swing, and you gotta make contact, or else, you know, it's tough to. But, you know, I try to do the best I can, and starting to have fun with it now that I'm starting to get, you know, the scenes down a little bit. I can kind of, you know, relax, concentrate, and relax more on trying to make it my own and feed off the other actors instead of just worrying about, you know, the lines and what mark I have to hit on the stage. So, but Rob's been great. And Lauren's great. I think it's a great cast. And, you know, we got John on board now. He's a pro. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It's challenging, and it's also, you know, it's also a little bit stressful. But, you know, it's nice to dive in on the deep end, you know, and swim with the great white sharks. Because
either you're going to get very talented. Cole, you are very talented. And you do improv well, meaning that you make a mistake, you can recover really quickly. I know how talented you are. You're going to do fantastic. In fact, Cole, you didn't know this, but we had hidden microphone on you during rehearsal, and I want to play this to Rob because he should hear what Cole's doing backstage. And Rob, I hate to, we have it right here, hidden microphone. This is Cole. Then he puts his guitar on. Shame on you, Cole. It's rehearsal.
Hey, Brian, I got Chris Walker here. He wanted to just chime in about the play because he was at the rehearsal, actually. He saw a little bit.
I haven't seen Chris in a while. Chris, what have you been doing?
Brian, it's nice to be on the show again, I have to say. This play looks crazy. I mean, Cole, he's fucking out of his mind. And I think, you know, they're going to go places with this thing. You know, first maybe small off Broadway run, and then maybe a movie. I see a movie in the future, maybe a short, maybe 30 minutes, and then the feature comes out later. We might even throw you a cameo if you're a good little sailor. How's that sound, Brian? Sound good?
You know, Mr. Walken, I believe it. I sounds like he has a good. I think Cole can hold this show. What do you think, Mr. Walken? You think Cole can pull this off?
I think even though he's a little gone, a little crazy, I think he's going to do a good job. And this girl, Lauren, wow, she's got that Liz Taylor 40s type star quality, and she's going to the top, I can tell. Wow, what talent, what beauty, what brains, what brawn. I'm telling you, this thing has a shot to get to the next level. And with Rob at the helm, there's no telling. I mean, you know, I just saw the one rehearsal, so I know they got a little bit of work to do, but I think this guy Cole, he's going places, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, Brian, I got to go. I'm going to hand it back to Cole or Miles, whoever the fuck your name is, and we'll catch you next time, Brian. I love you, crazy football hitting. Beer drinking, woman beaten. I love you. Bye.
I love you. I love you too, Mr. Walken, and I will take that boat ride you asked me to come on with you.
I will. You know, we'll try and bring Bobby Wagner along too. So maybe you could offer him a beer while his back is turned, and I can hit him with the oar, and maybe Jaws will come along and take him away. Because I tell you what. He's got me on the hook now, and I don't like it. It's crazy. I didn't have anything to do with Natalie's death. I loved her. I loved her like my own.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, we'll catch you later. I appreciate you having me on. It's always nice to be on the West
Coast. Pleasure.
I'm in Malaysia right now. That's why you haven't heard from me in a while. I'm, you know, trying to learn Malaysian. It's tough. It's tough when you smoke hash. You're trying to learn Malaysian. But we'll catch you later, and I love you guys. Bye, Diane.
Well, we love you too, Mr. Walken. More cowbell.
Definitely more cowbell on the way, Brian.
Okay. Oh, you're too crazy, Cole. I love it. Thank you, Mr. Walken. And thank you, Cole.
All right, that's crazy.
And Mr. Rob Roth.
Okay.
I will check it out. And Mr. Rob. Now, Rob, you are the director or the producer of this play?
Yes, Brian. I'm the director of the show. And let me just say it's an honor to follow the great Christopher Walken. I mean, that's the best lead-in you could ever have, as far as I'm concerned. I'm the director of the show. And, I mean, listen, you've heard Cole just go on for the past 5 minutes. There's no need to have to sell a guy like Cole Blackwell. He is everything a director could want in an actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's real, he's fresh, mm-hmm. and he really, you know, he gives it his all. And just picking up what you had mentioned earlier, the great part about this play is that it is such a small theater and it is so intimate, because this is the kind of show that is meant to affect the audience. Anybody that comes see this show, without a doubt, will be affected by the performances in this piece, especially on the performance by Cole Blackwell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where his character starts in the play as just a regular, you know, guy who's dealing with a drinking problem, who develops this obsession for this young girl, and where Cole takes it is, I mean, he takes it to places and heights that, you know, will no doubt affect every single person in that audience.
I believe that. He is a talented guy. Cole has a lot of energy that's built up in him. Once you put him on stage, magic will happen with Cole.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think, you know, if people are watching what off Broadway has become, you see a lot of people trying to redo things that have been done before them. And
mm-hmm.
I think the great thing, and where off Broadway originated, is in being original. I mean, the pieces that we want to see off Broadway are not the huge pieces and the typical storylines. It gives us an opportunity to go a little further, be a little more cutting edge, and not stick to the script so much. And the best thing about this piece is that it is written as a film script. We haven't really adapted much of it to getting onto stage. So basically what you're going to see is film actors performing a theater piece. And, you know, like you said, it's tightrope walking without a net. You don't
mm-hmm.
have a second chance. There is no redo. And it's just basically as raw and as real as acting and theater can be.
It's true. That's true. You will live or die within the first 20 minutes of a play. People are
Absolutely.
Rude. Don't walk out on your ass.
Absolutely. And you know, at first we were given the opportunity to cut it and make it a much shorter piece. Given that it's live stage, a live stage has a short attention span. But we chose not to. We chose to put a full-length piece on because I just feel the transformation between, you know, Cole's character Victor and the performance of Lauren Toglia in, you know, trying her best to change this guy is just compelling. And it's, you know, I really don't want to touch it. I want everyone to see the entire piece because I think it will really generate the buzz it needs. And like I said, Cole's performance in this and the fact that he hasn't had much theater experiences just contributes so much more to the piece. It is so real. It is so raw. It is exactly what you would want to see.
I like your vision. You're exactly right. You get somebody who has that energy, somebody who's not a thespian and by trade and project and this, and you get somebody, you get him in their element. You just put, I agree with you. Cole is the right experiment for this. He is the right lab rat. Give him some cheese.
Yeah.
Because Cole does have.
Thank you for putting it that way, Brian. I appreciate the way that the words used.
Well, what I'm saying is, and what Mr. Ross is saying too, is that when you take somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience in a theatrical world and put him on a stage, it could be frightening. It could be terrifying. But when you have somebody with your energy, Cole, and your ability and your rawness, it's also entertaining. That's what I got out of it. I think you can do it. I know you can do it. You'll be very entertaining. I would buy tickets just to see you be entertaining. And the story hits a lot of people. We're talking about people who are in denial. It could be anything. This particular thing could be substance abuse. But it could be anything. And people can relate to that. That's a smart story, Mr. Ross. Very smart story.
Hey, listen,
because you can
relate
to
Brian,
it.
We got to give props out to the writer, Patricia White. I leave it to Miles, call Miles, whatever you want to call me, to book a radio show, and nobody called. And thank God, Rob, if you didn't call in, I'd be holding my nutsack by myself. Hey, Diane, if Lauren's on there at 914, put her through. I think she had a photo shoot or something. I don't know if she could make it either. I know Rob told me Samantha's on a plane coming back from some shoot or something. But
well,
anyway, yes.
I don't see them, but Cole, we could have them on when they get back. We'll have a. How long is your play going to be? What, a week? What is your play?
It's a week from Thursday, so yeah. We could. It's the 19th, so maybe we can come back, on the 14th or something. I don't know.
Right, come back before, get the cast here. We'll promote the damn thing. Maybe we'll offer some kind of, I didn't mean damn thing. Take it easy, Mr. Ross. I'm going to come over there and break his legs. What I mean is we'll promote the project, and maybe we could connect it to some kind of gifts.
Listen,
you know,
to you guys, I think we have a great offer. I think we should start giving bong hits at intermission. I think that would be a great way to get people to come see the show. I'm convinced that's the way to go.
They're giving away free bongs. That's enough for me.
Hey, dude, this ain't Amsterdam. I think you're getting trouble with that. I like the idea, but...
Hey, that's your next play, Cole.
That's one thing is, like, you know, I've had to really cut down on that stuff because I got so much to learn, so much on my plate right now. So I've been a good little sailor, you know?
Yeah, well, you know what? I want to say you guys are going to be very successful. We're going to have you back on before the play with some of the girls. Now, you said you mentioned some of your co-stars. We'd like to have them on. I'd like to talk to them. If we could, we'd connect a gift to it and make sure that this is a success in opening night. I think it's a great title. What's the name of the title again?
Victims.
Victims.
Hey, you can't go wrong there.
Yeah.
So it's a story that everybody can relate to, and you got a raw star, Cole. I'm going to tell you something. I would pay admission just to look at Cole and his apartment and his own inhabitant and watch him load. It's cool.
I tell you what,
you're that entertaining, Cole.
Series.
You're that entertaining. I would go see it, buddy. You are a talent. Cole, you are talented. You know I think you are. I think this is going to be fantastic. And come back again, and we're going to pitch this as much as we can. And Mr. Ross, you have anything? If you had any criticism of Mr. Cole, what would it be?
Well, I think that he just touched base on that now. I think that he's let loose of the bong hits for a while, and we can get this play rocking and rolling. I have no doubt. I have full confidence that, like I said, we're going to see a very raw performance by a great actor, and the fact that he's a little fearful means that we're all doing our job right, because I would want all my actors to be a little fearful of what we're about to step into. We're about to step into a ring of fire as far as acting is concerned. But like I said, I have full confidence that Cole will be able to pull it off.
I love the way you talk, Mr. Ross. I mean, because it is the truth. Can you imagine Cole's up there, but can you imagine what Mr. Ross is going? Cole's a Cole star. Can you imagine what's going through his head? Oh, shit.
He's going to have a fucking heart attack.
Yeah, like, oh, my God.
The play fucking loser died in the first 20 minutes, so I'm sure his heart is going to be around 300.
I know.
But, hey, buddy, you brought up a really interesting point, and that was, you know, that I'm basically a film actor, and with this, you know, I'll be honest with you, it's like kind of like when I play music or sing or something, you know, once things start, I forget about the audience. It doesn't matter if it's 5 or 5,000. And that's kind of how I'm approaching this. It's like once I get there, I'm kind of on set and I'm treating the audience like they're a camera, and I just want to project a little more and give everybody kind of a show. But I just, you know, it's in one take. It's just one streaming take, which is tough compared to, you know, for that pilot I did, I had to learn 30 pages, but it was like shot over 4 days, so I shot, you know, a few scenes a day. So it was nothing like having to learn this much dialogue and this many different, you know, maneuvers.
How many F words are in this dialogue, Cole? Did I lose everybody?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Lost Cole.
Oh, we lost Cole. Well, there you go. See? See, Mr. Ross? Don't use the F word around Cole. He'll just leave you.
Well, that's all he needed, Brian. That's all he needed was to look up the F word. And he'll stand for a lot, but he will not stand for the F word.
Well, sir, thank you so much for coming on this show, and we want to have you back. Make sure that we get the word out, and I would love to interview your talented crew. Cole is a talented man. There's no doubt in my mind it's going to be very successful. It took a lot of courage for you to have an actor who is not a theatrical actor to open up your play. It took a lot of guts.
And really, that is what that kind of theater is about, though, Brian. It's about really just jumping in. Just jump in and hope for the best. And I think we will get a good result, out of it.
I think you will, too.
Thank you so much, Brian, for having me on.
You're welcome. I'm going to send you out with a good luck for you, sir. Here you go.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus. I
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Go see victims. Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
Mr. Ross. You're welcome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in the studio. I don't see the clock. I see people yelling at me. What is Carrie saying to me? Thinking of trying to get out.
Don't read it.
Oh. Oh, okay. Hey, you know what? I think that's a great idea. Carrie's thinking about getting us into live plays. I wasn't supposed to be reading that one?
Yeah. But, right?
I think there is an avenue for that. Yes, we should talk about that. We're getting too big. I don't know if we're getting too big that we're overextending ourselves or not, but it sounds like a great venue, Carrie. It does. We'll talk after. Carrie, I can't. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it just adds to our groundbreaking MVP.
I wish we could. I think you're right. All right, kiddo. We got 6 minutes. Everybody, I usually would take a break, but we don't have time to take a break. Carrie's going to go right into our Hollywood thing. And ladies and gentlemen, Carrie, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Sweetheart. Let me get your music.
The shortened version and just get out the good stuff. How's that?
You got it. Hold on. Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, time for our Hollywood report. By Carrie. Music, please. Da da. Ah da da. Carrie Brooks is going to read the script. She knows all the movies and she's going to talk about them. She hasn't even seen any of them, but we're still going to talk about them. Only for Hollywood. Like we say here in Hollywood, Hollywood, but Carrie won't. And now, I know, shoot me now. Ladies and gentlemen, Carrie Brooks.
Actually, I'm just going to do this real fast. I was going to do just the top three, but I want to go down a little bit. One Direction, This Is It, or This Is Us.
Wait, really quick. We can do it really quickly. We'll do it really quick, sweetheart. Number 10, really quick. Number 10.
World's End.
Okay, I saw the trailer on World's End. That's about these guys who are, their goal is to go to the pubs and drinking and go to 12 pubs, whatever, and then...
That's the one that Seth Rogen is in.
No, it's not the one. It's about these British guys whose goal is to go to 12 drinking, to hit 12 pubs at a certain time, then I don't know what to do. Then everybody started turning into robots, and then they started fighting robots. I have not a clue what was going on in the trailer. And this is number 10?
Yeah, it was number 8 last week.
Wow. That's because people saw it.
Okay,
how much did it cost
9.
To make, Carrie Brooks?
How much did it cost to make? It cost $20
million. Uh-huh.
After 3 weeks, they're at 21.7, so they made 1.7 million so far.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are no Benite brothers, that's for damn sure. The Benite brothers are making our blockbuster hits. So take that, World's End.
There you go.
Let's see if they can make money off of... Okay, number 9.
Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
Pussy Jackson? Is that a porn?
Percy.
Percy. Oh, okay.
Percy
Sorry.
Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
I really thought I heard pussy.
Well, of course you did.
Okay, well, knowing me in my life, I could only hear it. Diane?
Yes?
Just testing you.
TMI channel.
Thank you. 9 p.m. MVP on demand. Hey, you think we should? Oh, you think we should open up our MVP on demand network to short porn films?
No.
Okay. They make shorts too.
Yeah, but
yeah,
we don't
I'm sure they are short.
Not everybody can have what it takes to make them.
Jeez. Number 9, please.
No, number 8, Blue Jasmine.
Nope. Who?
Blue Jasmine.
That sounds familiar. I think I wanted to see it, but the title screwed me up. I think it was a good movie.
It's been out for 7 weeks.
And how much did it make?
It made 2.7 this weekend for a total of 25.5 in 7 weeks.
Oh, really? How much did it cost to make?
Oh, that's Woody Allen's movie. That's why.
Oh, Woody Allen?
Yeah, Blue Jasmine's Woody Allen. Kate Blanchett.
Woody Allen is so out of touch. I don't even know why anybody goes. His movies don't make sense. The only people who watch Woody Allen movies are people who are in hospice, who are dying. But go ahead.
Well, that's...
No judgment.
Why he has such a large...
Oh, my God. How much, I mean, really, is he making a lot of money? How much does it cost to make that one? Because Woody Allen doesn't pay their actors. It must be cheap.
Well, he doesn't say what his budget was, but in 7 weeks he's made 25.5. So, who knows? I mean, we don't know what he put into it or whatever, so.
Actors usually will work for free for Woody because they want to be next to a Woody. Next, number 7.
Well, don't you think they'd rather go somewhere there actually was a Woody? Oh.
Exactly. Somebody needs
Elysium.
Elysium.
That's Matt Damon's.
Oh, yeah. So how's that going?
Well, it's number 7 this week, number 6 last week. Been out for 5 weeks. Had a $115 million budget. Made 85 so far.
No way. Will never make his budget.
No.
It dropped, didn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead. Number 6.
One Direction. This is it. This is us.
So they dropped from number 1 last week to, let's just say number 2 because the Butler beat them. So they dropped from number 2 to number 6 that fast.
That fast.
Wow. But how much did it cost to make?
$10 million.
Greedy little bastards. They're making $10 million a cost to make for these assholes to run around acting like fools with no talented people, just behind the scenes of crap. And it cost $10 million to show them behind the scenes of crap? Okay. It cost $10 million. How much did it make?
So far, almost 24. 23.9. Actually, they're only, $9 away from making $24 million.
How much are these little girls who are from 9 years old to 12 are going to the movies and seeing these kids over and over again? Wow. It's a success. Can't argue with it. But $10 million to make is about them just footage of them fooling around. It's a ripoff. But go ahead. Next.
Yes. The next.
Oh, damn. We're at 90 seconds already? Dang. Okay, hold on, Carrie. 1 second. I want to thank Cole Blackwell, Rob Ross, and I want to thank the great director, Robert Lopez. Again, the Benight Brothers, now playing on MVPOnDemand.com. Please check it out. Series 1 and Series 2 are up there. Check out The Magical. It's a beautiful series. It's another web series that's on there. We are going to talk to the producer of The Magical and make it the same kind of fundraising thing because it's a great thing with them. I want to thank Diane Mears-Dillon, Kelly Corbin, Carrie Brooks, Cedric, I apologize. I didn't realize the time. You wanted me on the show. I promise. I'll be there tomorrow if you have me. I sound like it's my Academy Award speech. Cedric, I'm sorry I let you down. I've been letting a lot of people down. I won't do it again. Hope you forgive me. I was supposed to be appearing on your show, and I completely forgot. At 9 a.m. I was in a meeting. I apologize. We're going to go into podcast right now. We're going to continue with the top 10. And then if we're lucky, I'm going to give you 10 reasons why people do not do oral sex towards women correctly. Continue, Carrie.
We're in podcast now, right?
Oh, 10 seconds we're going to be in podcast. We're still live.
Okay.
The number,
okay,
what, five?
Number five, planes.
Okay, I understand that one. Number four?
We're the Millers.
I love that. How much, now that's interesting. How much did it cost to make the Millers?
37.
And how much did it make so far?
124.
Unfreaking believable. They made over 200% of their money back.
How sad is that?
I think that's a marketing thing. I think you got talented people. It's a funny bit. You get Jennifer Aniston trying to be a stripper that she more looks like somebody playing makeup. But it's funny. I like the premise. I like them trying to get a make-believe family. They're going to smuggle some marijuana across the border. I love it. I love the premise. Oh, but you know where I like to? Whatever happened to those two women, Sandra Bullock and the other one? But they did that. What was it? Heat. Where is that at?
Melissa McCarthy. The Heat.
Yeah. The Heat. I think that was brilliant too. I was against it when it first came out because I don't think women are particularly funny. I don't think it's particularly funny to make fun of a large person, but the formula worked with Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello. They keep going on with the skinny guy, fat guy. The fat guy is always the dope. The skinny guy is the one that's always doing it. And I figured they would use the same formula, but I think more or less, I think Sandra Bullock plays the comedic area in this one, and McCartney plays
McCarthy is the comedic part. Sandra Bullock's kind of her, Sidekick.
Sidekick?
Yeah.
It worked. It really worked.
It did.
Oh, did you see it?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. You liked it, huh?
Oh, yeah, I really liked it. I like Melissa McCarthy. And I am so glad to see that she's actually getting a chance to do what she does, and it's not based on her size. It's based on her talent, and it is awesome.
I didn't like her at first. I saw Bridesmaid, and I said, okay, they're using her as a gross character, you know, just like a ripoff Hangover. And she was playing a part of what's his name? But then I became a fan of her on SNL. She is a very talented comedian. I really like her. I'm not a fan of their TV show. I think their TV show is boring. What is it called? Her and the other guy?
Mike and Molly.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I think, excuse the pun, they're bigger. Both of those guys are bigger than a small screen. I think the TV is kind of cutting out their comedic ability, how talented they really are. They're limited to the standard sitcom of let's look at these large-sized people, and it's the same old formula sitcom that they're in. They're better than that, so I'm not a fan of that show. What do you think, Carrie?
You know, at first I kind of liked it. And the Mike character and the Molly character I really like. And I like his police partner. And I like the grandma, his partner's grandma that he lives with.
Oh, she's a bitch.
Oh, she's great. But I can't stand Susie Kurtz and whoever it is that plays Molly's sister because they're just icky.
Yeah. They're following the sitcom formula, and when you have comedians who are blue, in the old days, blue means raw, means this. you got, when comedians like Red Fox, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, you put them in a sitcom, it just ruins their ability. They're so much better. Anyway, where are we at, number four or what?
Yeah, number five was planes. Or no, we're at number three.
Mm-hmm.
Instructions not included. This, I think, was a sleeper hit that nobody saw coming from anywhere. And it started out as an independent film in Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's been out for 2 weeks. And it was in fourth place. It debuted in fourth place, but it's in third place this week. They went from a limited release to, you know, of 300 and some theaters to 700, and they took in $8 million.
Wow, that is pretty damn good.
And I looked it up. They had a budget of about $5 million, and
mm-hmm.
in 2 weeks they're at 20.3. So they have
wow.
I mean, this getting quite critical acclaim. It's kind of, I mean, just goes to show you that you can't discount indie stuff. And this is
mm-hmm.
an indie film out of Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's what I think. Wow. This could be one of the sneaker hits or sleeper hits or whatever they call them.
Mm-hmm.
For the summer.
Interesting.
I mean,
that's number two?
No, number three.
Oh, okay. How much did it cost to make?
$5 million. Just estimated $5 million.
And what is it grossing right now?
It's 20.3.
Wow. That's a hit.
Yes, it is. That's what I'm saying.
But it's no B'nai Brothers, because B'nai Brothers now appearing on MVPOnDemand.com. You could see the B'nai Brothers, which should be in a box office. If it was playing in movies right now, it would be over $100 million. They wish they could get that box office. The
yeah.
B'nai Brothers are a big box office on MVP On Demand. You would see it. They are a big box office success. Again, they may have made maybe $40 to $50 on their film, but you ask anybody how marvelous that is. Nobody makes money on web series. No one. No one is going to take distribution from a web.
Until they come to the MVP.
MVP, we changed the rules. We changed the rules, baby. You want to go on your Indiegogo? Well, you go. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see a lot of people talk about what they want to do, asking about money so they can get there. And if they fall short, your money's gone. And when you're stuck with a hat, that nobody, the film will never come out. Now, don't you look like a moron. You're walking around with a hat that the film has never made. Yeah, you don't look like a moron. You look like an intelligent person. With MVP On Demand, they're not talking about what we're going to do and how much money we need for us to do it. They did
it. We're doing it.
We're doing it. They did it. You see their movies. And they're saying to you, because it's web series. We're only doing this on web series. We're not doing this for movies. Movies, you have to buy a ticket. Web series, we wanted to put the money in your pocket. We want you to continue making these movies. We want you to continue making these web series. By being on MVPOnDemand.com, you're not only getting an audience to follow your project, you're getting a following. You're getting, people are talking about you. People are seeing original stuff. And they want to see part two, part three, part four. And they know that their donation will help get that made. So they're not talking to you what they want to do. They're talking to you saying, we want to do more. We're showing you. And they offer gifts. That's like going to the movies and the guy, thank you for coming. Here's your free popcorn. I'm there just for the popcorn. MVPOnDemand.com. And if you sign up now, you get to see a topless picture of Diane Mears Dillon doing the hula.
I keep telling you, would you quit doing that? We're trying to build our audience, not kill it.
I said Diane. Oh, my God.
Well?
Wow. Diane, would you like to comment on that?
No, not at this time.
You know, now I'm beginning to wonder why. I go, Carrie's mic always go dead right before the show. Now I know why. Hey, Dan, what happened to Carrie? I don't know. Okay. Don't ask, don't tell. I'm going to tell you, I would pay good money to see Diane topless doing a hula. I, for one, would do it. Let's ask Kelly. Kelly? 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 Kelly, I know you can hear me. I know you can hear me. Don't pretend your mic is going down. Thank you.
I thought
Kelly.
You muted.
Oh, you have me muted. How much would you pay to see Diane do the hula topless?
Well, there isn't enough money in the world for that.
That's right. Oh, it's priceless.
Kelly, you kill me.
That's priceless.
I'm praying
wait,
but we won't find
TMM
it on the MVP
like,
network.
Out of the water. Yeah, on the MVP network.
But we
TMI
won't find
channel.
It on the MVP network.
That's right, boo-boo honey.
But we
better
won't
better
find
recognize.
It on the MVP. Boy, you just keep cutting me off, don't you?
Who?
You.
You.
In other words, zip it.
Well, let me take a look at this show and see what name's on it. I'm sorry, just a second. It says here, Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. Oh, excuse me, I just wanted to check. Diane, zip it. Yeah.
So what would you be without all of us?
I would be nothing.
See, there you go.
Dyad, are you calling me a Looney Tune? Oh, jeez.
Oh, man, now is when we really need, like, a Roadrunner sound effect.
And the number one movie.
Oh, wait a minute. We didn't do number two.
Go ahead and do your number two. That sounded really wrong in every bunch of the way.
Well, it sounds better than yours sometimes, though.
I'm sure.
Lee Daniels, the butler.
I heard that the butler dropped a lot. I'm hearing rumors that, you know, people are not seeing it anymore. It's dropping a lot, but I keep hearing it's number two. How much did it pull
well,
in over the weekend, Carrie?
It's been out for 4 weeks. And it's made
yeah, but how much did
almost $92 million, so people are seeing
wow. Is that total gross, or is that just over the weekend?
No, over the weekend they did nine.
Okay, now here's the difference. Now, you guys hear that, and you think, wow. How many theaters do you have it there, Carrie? How many theaters is the butler in?
3,300.
3,300 theaters. I'm going to ask you again. Now, who goes, who is below that, Carrie? Who is below that? Number three. Who came in at number two?
That is number two. Number three is Instructions Not Included.
Okay. How many theaters is Instructions Not Included?
717.
There you go. Here's the politics of the theater. So when you hear, it's unheard of that the butler is in that many theaters. I guarantee you, you can look on that list, and those movies are not in that many theaters. That's a lot of theaters. That's like playing at every theater that people go to. You know that? That's unfair.
The Millers is in more.
Seriously?
Yeah, they're in 3,400, almost 3,450.
Interesting.
So the Millers, which came in fourth, was in, 1,100 more, or no, 200 more. See,
did it open the same weekend as the Butler did, too, originally?
No, it came out the week before.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. That's a lot of theater. So the Butler is number two. They pulled in $92 million over the weekend?
No. 9 million over the weekend, and a 4 week total, 92.
Oh, 4 weeks total. And how much did it cost to make?
30.
They more than tripled their money.
Yep.
They more than tripled their money. They sure did. It's
actually,
hard for me to think that,
think
you had a cast
they made
of
budget the first week, I think, or not didn't miss it by far.
Yeah.
The you know, I got a feeling Tyler Perry's behind this. And did you ever notice that Oprah doesn't go anywhere without her Tyler Perry card? It's like he's some kind of credit card. Hey, I don't go anywhere without my Tyler Perry card. You ever notice that?
Well, was he involved in this?
Yeah, it's like, well, I think he invested in OWN. I think he invested some money in OWN. I know
he's got at least three shows that he's producing that are airing on OWN.
Yeah, they made some kind of deal, and that is, yes. Here's what I'm saying. Yeah, Mr. Perry, see how many people are going to watch that show. Nobody looks at OWN. That's a bad move for you unless he got a great back end deal. And I don't mean Oprah bending over either. I don't know what makes Diane laugh, but it sure feels good when she does it.
When she doesn't?
When she does, it sure feels good when she does. But they must have they must have a great back end deal.
Beep, beep.
Yeah. There you go. Let's do it like Oprah. So number one, let's do it again like Oprah. What's the name of the number one movie, The Butler or something?
No, we haven't got to number
okay.
one yet.
Okay, let me do The Butler like Oprah. The Butler! Shut up. Did you see the latest on Oprah? They had her on Access Hollywood, and they said, what are you afraid of? And Oprah goes, I'm afraid of balloons. Oprah said that she's afraid of balloons.
Broken rubbers, I'd be afraid of them too.
Oh, Jesus, Gary. And you mute me.
And what?
And you mute me.
She's been blowing up the wrong things.
Oh! Both of you guys are late night people. Look at this. Both of you are late night people on TMI channel. Late night.
Not to change the subject or anything, but did you know there's such a thing as balloon porn?
A balloon horn?
Balloon porn.
I don't know what balloon horn. H-O-R-N?
No, P as in Paul, O-R-N.
Of course. I mean, when you see that guy making the balloons out of the animals, making animals and everything, of course. Have you ever blown, when you blow up one of those balloons, what do you symbol is when you blow it up all the way to the end? What do you think you're putting in your mouth?
Well, I don't think of anything.
Oh, sure. None of you guys get it now. Sure.
Uh-huh. Hey, I thought
you're blowing
that was
a balloon, and it's tight, and you're blowing
ever.
It looks like a wiener dog, right? It looks like a phallic symbol.
It depends on what shape the balloon is.
I guess so. I never thought
How can you do
balloon? Balloon is a balloon is a balloon.
I guess so, but what is balloon porn? I don't understand it. Are you serious? There is such a thing?
Yes, there is. Somebody told me something about it. I can't remember who it was, but I mean, I've never watched it, so I don't know what it is, but I guess it exists.
I guess there'd be a lot of popping going on.
Oh, Jesus.
Explode here, explode there.
Oh, here we go.
Everywhere, a little explosion.
You know, both of you guys are not ready for primetime players. Both of you guys are late night. Late night. And it's MVP channel, late
that's
night,
where,
with Diane and Carrie.
Talking to podcast.
Yeah, well, that's true. We can relax and podcast. All right, number one. What is the number one movie at the box office?
Dun-da-da-da.
Ribbit.
Exactly. Who's Dick?
Ribbit. No.
Ribbit.
Vin Diesel.
Ouch.
You know that little guy?
Oh, okay. Okay. You got me there.
What were you thinking about?
I don't know. I just heard Dick. I go, who's Dick? How could Dick be number one?
I'm a movie trainer, Tiger Blood. for some winning.
Ding.
Oh my God, you guys are out of control.
Hey, I got to bring something up. The other day I was watching the Kelly and Michael show. And Michael was talking about this, I don't know if any of you heard it, there's a Swedish company that's making caskets that include Spotify inside them. $30,000. Spotify?
That includes what?
Spotify.
What's that?
It's that music station
music.
You can get on your computer.
Oh, are you serious?
So they're installing these in the caskets, and they come with subwoofers and everything, and you pay $30,000, and they guarantee that whatever station you pick, that music will play forever.
Forever?
Does it also have the boom box there, you know, so when you walk by, you see the earth pounding?
I mean,
you know
what fool would...
I just lost control of everything. You know what? This is all I have right here. This is after this.
Like,
this is
I
what
care
I have.
About nothing, man.
Now we need to see how many podcasts we get.
Yeah, just roll another blunt. Diane and Carrie are talking.
La la
la la la la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la la
la la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la
la la la. I was going to clean my room until...
There you go. I was going to do my show until I got high. Ooh. Kelly called me on the phone and said it was a go. Ooh. But I'm so high and there's no show because I got high. Okay, go ahead. Number one.
Read it.
She heard he said it.
You're a dick. Red dick. All right. How could Red Dick... be number one? It's
because
a stupid
everybody
movie.
Wants to see what Vin Diesel's
doing. It's idiotic. It's a sci-fi. I know Riddick is a Kelly just wrote, I hate blog talking. Riddick is a comic book. And it's an underground comic book about Vin. I don't even understand it.
I didn't write anything. Diane just wrote that to me.
Oh, Diane's framing people. But I don't understand. That did go into seven, did debut at six. It debuted at number one?
Yep. Well, when you think about it, you know, for the most part, there really hasn't been anything for the boys to go watch. So I'm sure that the boys had a heyday this weekend and went and saw it over and over and over again because, you know, what have they had to watch lately? Planes? Elysium?
Yeah. I guess you're right. Oh, I just see, that's why they need MVPOnDemand.com, original content to fuel your brain. If you want your brain stimulated, you can watch great content on MVP.com, OnDemand.com. We will stimulate your brain. In fact, your brain would be so stimulated, we'll have brain splatter by the time you're done watching our shows. Thank you. The more to know. You know what's inside my head sometimes when you and Diane go at it? Here's what happens to my head.
Inside his head.
That's it.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We stop playing.
And
we
you know what?
We from the top. One, two,
where
two, you,
I don't
four,
know where.
Four, five, six, where six, eight,
easy,
eight,
guys.
Eight,
guys.
Eight, where,
these are the guys left over in a sports show. They're still a little hyper. Okay. So, Riddick is number one. How much does it cost to make Riddick?
Riddick,
Uh-huh.
$38 million.
How much?
$38 million.
How much did it make, kiddo?
18.7.
Wow. That's his first week he's been out.
Yep. Almost half.
Wow.
Wow. I don't know if it's going to last, though, because that's the kind of movie that doesn't have a stay power. I mean, that's one of those movies you see once. I mean, I think it's rated R. You know the movie that I'm dying to come out is The Family with De Niro. I think that would be a great movie.
Oh, that looks funny, don't it?
It does look good. I can't wait for it to come out.
You know, Tommy Lee Jones just doesn't make a bad movie, really.
No, Tommy is pretty damn good. He is pretty good. And, you know, what's this? We're going to end it here. I'm going to go around thing. Will Smith, they asked Will Smith to come back to do, what was that movie, ID, what is it, Independence Day?
Men in Black? Oh.
No, not Men in Black. Day? Independence Day actually made him. That's his, you know, remember Independence Day, Kelly? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So for a while he said no. Now that he did that flop with his kid, they're trying to talk to him about doing Independence Day. My question to you, roundtable, did Will Smith lose his movie thing? He used to be the king of the box office, especially on Memorial Day. That's when he makes a lot of movies. Is he getting too big that he's walking through his movies, or does he? I don't know something about him. How about you, Carrie Brooks? Did Will Smith lose his stardom as far as his draw to bring people into the movies?
Box office appeal.
Yeah. Thank you, Kelly.
I think it depends on the vehicle that they have him in. Independence Day was actually a very good movie.
Well, he
and
did a lot of great movies. Men in Black were great. I wasn't particularly happy with the last Men in Black. The story really sucked. They walked through it. Tommy Lee Jones was hardly there. And it's
he wasn't supposed to be there.
Well, it's like what Robert said, Lofa. He says, you know, they see something that works, and what they do is they put a little spin on it so you think it's different.
Right.
I'm just so tired. I saw the worst movie in this. I saw the worst movie, and I waited all year for it to come out on DVD. It was a Tom Cruise movie called, come on, it just came out on DVD. In a space, he's in space. Not Odyssey. What was? Oh fuck! It just took it back. Help me out, you guys. It's like a Elysium. It was a space movie. I just saw it. Tom Cruise. Okay. It just came out, and it came out on DVD. I wanted to see it. God, I can't remember the name of it now. Elysium or something.
Oblivion.
Thank you so much. That was the worst piece of shit I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, and this surprises you.
The worst. I don't even recommend.
This surprises
you. Why? Well, I thought, you know, first of all, putting Tom Cruise in a kind of a sci-fi thing, I would think it would be more like a Mission Impossible. I would see that kind of thing in space. But this, is it me, or is it very uncomfortable to see Tom Cruise do a love scene? Let's just go really quickly. The great actors, I hate to call them great actors, just actors in general that who are stars. I'll name a couple. You guys tell me, uncomfortable or not uncomfortable. George Clooney, Carrie.
Not uncomfortable.
We had this conversation last week.
Well, wait, I'm going to change it up a little bit. I know, you said okay. And Diane? Comfortable or uncomfortable? She has me on mute. She'll come back on. Okay, Brad Pitt.
Yuck.
Okay, Kelly?
I still like watching him.
Okay. Vin Diesel, completely naked, full frontal nude, love scene.
No.
How about The Rock?
No.
Really, Kelly?
No, because he's an action guy. You don't want to see him.
But that's what
that
I'm trying. Does it make you feel uncomfortable if he's even in? I don't think I see a movie where he's even making out. I don't think there's. I'll tell you a brilliant movie The Rock did, and I bet you I saw it. It is a sleeper. You should rent it. When he was the Tooth Fairy, I thought it was brilliant. It was so. It was so funny. Did you see it when he was?
You know what I like is The Game Plan.
Mm-hmm. I like that one, too.
Did you? I kind of saw it. Mm-hmm. I didn't finish it. I thought it was great. I mean, he did a lot. I think the funniest one was Get Shorty. There's always that scene that's going to remind me of The Rock, standing in front of the mirror. And he was in a Western clothing place, and there was a guy looking at him at the side, and he was full. You know, the guy was a cowboy. You could tell, a rough cowboy. And The Rock was in front of the mirror, and he's going, uh-huh. And he's looking at himself, and he's raising one eyebrow, and he goes, mm-hmm, get it, boy. Mm. And then he turns around and hits himself on the ass going, yeah. And then he goes, hot. It was the funniest scene. And then he looked at the cowboy with that one eyebrow, and the cowboy just didn't know what to do. Going, oh my, he never seen anything like that. Get Shorty, if you want to see The Rock at his best, with John Travolta, and what's his name is really funny, and it Get Shorty. Anybody see Get Shorty?
Mm-hmm.
It is the funniest thing. That and the Tooth Fairy. He did a Disney thing. What, Escape to Witch Mountain, I think he did. I'm not quite sure.
I didn't see that one, yeah.
Race to Witch Mountain.
Yeah. Did you see that one, Carrie?
No, I didn't. I missed it. But
he did some good ones. And then I saw a movie that I was very disappointed in. It was a true story. It's the one that The Rock played in. He was a prisoner. And what's his name? Marky Mark was in it. It was a true story about those three guys who ripped off people, and they just went to jail. I forgot what it was called. Anyway, kind of disappointing, but it was funny there, too. It was funny. The Rock is very talented. You don't see him in anybody, you know? There's not really a love interest. And he was great in the Fast and Furious. So he's a very talented guy. I guess I killed that, didn't I?
Oh, I'm trying to find movies. I can't even get him to pull up here.
Kelly's typing. I got to. Okay, Kelly. Mm-hmm. I see it. All right, Kelly, we're going to end this. So number one is your Riddick. Congratulations, people. You just became officially morons. And that's ended with Carrie's Hollywood Report coming from Arizona, the Hollywood birthplace. Music, please. Carrie's Hollywood. I'm telling you about Hollywood. I don't live near Hollywood or ever will go there because I think the people are freaks, but I am a producer in Arizona. But I will tell you about Hollywood. Thank you, Carrie Brooks.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Hey, everybody, speaking of tomorrow. Wait, Carrie, before you go. Speaking of tomorrow, we have a very serious show. Tomorrow, we have the great Dr. Mai
Haley
coming on tomorrow. And this is going to be one of the most important shows. And when I say one of the most important shows, because we did a lot of shows, we've been in contact with the publisher. This is an A-list person. This is an A-list author. I call her Black Royalty because of the work that she helped done with her husband, the late Alex Haley, on Roots. She helped collaborate some writing on that, whether it's The Next Generation or Roots. When I was a kid, everybody looked at Roots. Everybody in the world had the TV. They were turning on to Roots. Carrie just turned on it to smile. Remember the good old days.
Really?
Yikes.
Those were the days, my friend. We thought. So anyway. Dr. Mai Haley will. Yes. I can see Carrie and Sheriff Joe just sitting there going, oh, God, and they're crying through Roots. Oh, why did it have to end?
Hear something funny about Sheriff Joe?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know if it's funny or not. It's actually kind of cool. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. I got asked to do a radio interview with him next week.
Did you really?
Oh, no, not next week. It's it's the end of the month, the 28th.
I like to hear that. If you can get us the tape on that, that would be very interesting. That is that's pretty cool for you, because Sheriff Joe, all kidding aside, he is a phenomenon in Arizona. He is
Hey, Brian.
One of the only sheriffs that's known countrywide.
Brian.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. My son has a football game, and he happened to leave his uniform pants at home. I have got to take them to him.
Okay.
I'll see you later.
Well, Kelly's leaving because her little boy's at school with no pants on.
So to speak.
Don't forget to tune in to the show tomorrow with Dr. Mai Haley. We're here at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This show will blow you away.
Wait a minute.
What?
It's not
1
a.m., it's
1 p.m. 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m.
Yeah,
Eastern Standard.
Said a.m.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Just make sure we get it right, that's all.
I know. Don't get your kitty in an uproar. Easy, Kelly.
I didn't.
Easy, kitty. There you go. Thank you, kitty. Thank you, kitty.
Okay, stop.
All right. Oh, you just killed the kitty.
And somebody should have done that a few minutes ago.
Oh, my God. Oh,
let's go.
They love you, Kelly. You killed the kitty here. All right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, Dr. Mai Haley going to be on. Again, we have very special people that are going to be on the show. And you have to be on the list so you can talk to her, Q&A. There's going to be a high grade, upgrade, whatever grade you want to give it. But it will be a grade. Thank you so much for listening to Brian Hammer Jackson Show, along with Carrie Brooks, Kelly Corbin, and Diane Mirdalen. Diane, did you leave us? I guess that answers my question.
Either that or she just isn't talking to you. Maybe she's not talking to me.
Wow, no.
I think she's gone.
She is gone.
And don't forget, Toy Moore. Author Toy Moore.
Well, there will be a lot of VIPs calling in tomorrow to talk with my Haley.
VIP,
Toy
Moore. Dr. Haley, we have a director, a very well-known director will be calling in. God, we have just so many people hopefully Gail. And Gail, if you're listening to this, you have our love, and hopefully she might show up. And that's it, guys. We're out of here, okay?
Okay. Brian, you're going to call me? I want to talk.
Okay. I will.
All right,
kid. All right. We're out of here, guys. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow on a very important show. And talk to you guys later.
Oh, and
bye,
Chris Carey will be here, too.
Who?
Hi. Chris
Who's
Carey.
Who's going to be here? And
Chris
Berry.
It's
going to be a hell of a show tomorrow. Thank you. I knew something was wrong. Okay, you ready? I'm going to leave you with
I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Dad gave away. Dad gave away. My neighbor got big tentacles because we see this dude every day.
Kelly, goodbye, everybody.